אדם צעת ל... Number 1, take the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Fred Mayer. I'm the president of the Aboriginal Restoration Coalition, a political party, and also the Haina Kwa Chief.
Identify all the speakers first before the
honourable. No, we must speak others that sit outside.
Okay.
Take the platform, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Like I've said, I'm just going to repeat myself. I first give thanks to God for the opportunity that I've been given to keep the submission. And I give thanks to Him for His wisdom and courage and guidance. First of all, Mr. Chairperson, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to make the submission. I've got a 15-page submission. I sent it to your email for your secretary, but I've broken it down to 3 pages, if you will allow me to. First and foremost, I am the president of MC, president of the Aboriginal Restoration King Coalition, a political party, recently registered, and also the chief of the Haina Kwa clan. In respect of the traditional bill, Comrade Chairperson, is our submission that we as the restoration of ARC, the short version of the political party as ARK, we will reject the bill due to the following reasons. Must we debate a bill when we as an Aboriginal coalition are not being recognized as a sovereign nation? Must we debate a bill if our language is or ourselves not being recognized? Must we debate a bill when our indigenous cultures are not being restored and or recognized? All official languages and nations are being recognized, but none of my indigenous is only provision is made for Isikosa, Isitulu, Indian, colored, white. I'm none of the above mentioned, but I'm a Khoisan and Khoisan still not recognized. Our constitution and the current law of the land is based on Roman Dutch law. In that constitution, we should be amended in line with our cultural and traditional ways, read with International Labour Organization, RR169, UN Convention, and ratification of our forefathers. In the premises, should the bill not be in compliance of the aforementioned, we oppose the bill vehemently in its entirety. Which provides for the right to legal representation in criminal matters. Legal representation should, however, still be available to persons who appear before the council or court in a civil matter. Definitions contained within the traditional court bill are taken from pieces of legislation that are being repealed once new legislation is promulgated. This includes the traditional affairs bill, which is due to replace the traditional leadership and governance framework Act 2003. As well as the National House of the Business Leaders Act 2019. The bill does not advance the principles of a constitutional democracy, particularly the entrenchment of the rights of women, including the representation of women in traditional councils or courts. The various options available to the presiding officer should be reviewed to ensure that it protects traditional communities from abuse. The appeals process must be strengthened to ensure that traditional communities have legitimate processes through which to appeal against the decision of the traditional court or council. Persons should have the option of opting out if they prefer for their matter not to be heard by a traditional court or council and or opting to make use of the formal judicial system. Thank you. I ask President, I thank you and God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Please, we'll submit it to the secretary once we are through, just to ensure that we don't miss your input. It's a very valuable input to assist us a lot. Number two,
that's one. doing. I can't know MBG the coin down from. The red word V among high school. Word is Nimat Anwar. High school. High school really. See me? Nimat Anwar me. The same reform. It is a down server.
Dat
is wat basis gebeurd.
Okay.
Ik wil bij je
gewoon kort meer. Dat zal dan, they will be interpreted and translated this for us.
Okay.
Okay. We allow them little bit speak, allow them speak, allow them to be much easier for us.
Is there somebody who can translate there in Afrikaans? Where is that our brother sister there? Because they're going to speak in Afrikaans. My name is Makkelijk. Okay, my name is my slave name. I will be very short. My slave name is Okker Lewis. I'm born in a little Karoo, a little Karoo. My Khoisan name is Oni Karu. Weet jy wat het beteken? Is die geel leiter. Geboren in die Kleinsman, Kleinsmansberger. Nou is die kam karrefie. Die naam so seer dat my volk nie meer eindelijk hulle taal kan praat. Dit is net die parlement, net so een beetje gerustel, net die paar woorde wat hier uitgegaan het. Soos my voorbeeld, Toa Tama Kanske. Toa Tama Kanske. Wat betekent die story die voort. Dan was daar ook genoemd Sina de Kokai. Wat betekent ons het opgestaan.
Okay.
Dus waar ik denk, ik wil net die parlement gerust stellen dat hier nieuwe lelijke woorden in die taal van die kooi gebruikt was. Nee, ik praat in termen van die prinsingen. Wat daar gepraat het en niet voor ons verduidelijk het. Wat we eindelijk zeggen die. Wat ik net hierdie drie punten noem. Door om die hele gerust te stel dat het was nie met kwakevloes of lelik gesê nie. Dan het my broer ook daar genoem, Oori Kahu. Oori Kahu. Wat beteken, eindelijk, wat die Hollanders as Tafelberg, uitgebeeld. Wat beteken Oori Kahu, wat beteken, in die see uit opgekom. En die see is hoorie is die see. En die see is opgekom. God het hierdie berg aan ons in die water gegee. Dit sal al wees. En dan as die woord. Iemand dat vertolk?
Please, just a little bit.
Okay.
Translate Afrikaans into English.
Yellow Leopard, and then the speaker lists the number words, and he got no reaction from the audience, and then it said that it means that a lot of the people here doesn't know the language, and it's actually tragic, and then he cited two other words in Nama, which means story continues, and we stood up. And I just want to ease or reassure the people that no other words we use today during the praise singer's words. And then he cited the Nama word for Table Mountain, which means the mountain came out of the sea according to the people from Netherlands, and it means that God gave the mountain to us.
Hey, Gangans. Wat means baie dankie toenooi, wat betekent jong meisie. Ek is klaar, ek wil as die woord dat in die woord in die Nama taal wat gebruikt sal word, soos Toropga Yikaka, Toropga Yikaka, weet jy wat dit beteken? Dit beteken dis oorlog, ons van aan om te destrooi, om heeltemal te vernietig. Hey, Gangans, wanneer sida, sida kui, met al mijn liefde van my meester van Boer. Baie dankie.
Thank you very much.
Sitting on the floor and eating.
I'm not there.
With plastic spoons.
I'm not there.
And then I saw inside everybody eating with silver spoons.
All the liars. All the fight.
My problem I have, Mr. Chairperson, is this calling is for Khoisan people. And I understand and what I feel and what I see is racism. And I don't expect racism to be held in Parliament while we're trying to resolve racism. Now, in 1999, I was part of the drafting of the white paper for traditional leaders. In 2003, the white paper became an act, Traditional Leaders Act, and I went home and I said, where do we sit? And they said, sorry, it's not for you, it's only for the blacks. Now, the blacks have been acknowledged already. The Khoisan people have not been acknowledged. So this function is supposed to be for Khoisan people. And you are taking up our time to allow people of a different ethnic group to speak on our behalf. And that is not acceptable. This is my grievance. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No. This is a public hearing. Any South Africans around the province could attend and participate fully. It's a public hearing. And we wouldn't say come, you can't do that. In the public hearing, that is open for all South Africans to participate fully and assist us to understand the traditional system of governance in our country. On the issue of spoons, I think the catering team, they will assist us in future not to do it that way. Of course, you know, Parliament is not a very big area in terms of other areas. Sometimes it's so full, we wouldn't be able to eat. That's why we wanted everyone to remain seated here, except the chiefs only. And then when everyone goes out, it was difficult really to stop anyone on that. I think, Khosi, you would accept our apology on that and move on and deal with what you are all about here. That one will take it and we'll discuss other issues there. We shouldn't take much of our time discussing that or apology for it. I think they will deal with it in future.
I hear what you're saying, Mr. Chair. The problem is that the Khoisan people have been spoken for by other people all our lives. We want to speak what we want to say. We don't want to hear what other people have to say about us. Government is speaking already for us on our behalf. We want you to hear what we have to say. Nobody must else speak for us. We know what you want and we know who we are.
I just thought that we have allowed everyone to participate. Yourself, you participated fully. You assisted us to understand the complexity of the matter. We have allowed many kings and chiefs here to participate fully. We wouldn't know exactly who is this one then. Is this one not supposed to speak? This one supposed to speak? We wouldn't do so. It would be illegal anyway. It would be unconstitutional for us to do so. And then as we are emphasizing the whole issue of the Constitution, bear in mind, we can't stand up here and say, you are not a Khoisan, don't speak. It would be completely illegal for us to do so. Just understand that and assist us to move forward. All other matters will be addressed. We have assisted us only, but also it can't be, it's not racism anyway. The fact that I'm sitting here, others are sitting there, is not because of racism. But also we must understand black as meaning all those whose land were dispossessed. Because otherwise you take a point that says, no, these other Africans are not black, others are black. We are all Africans here. We are all Africans here. That is important to do so, to move on with that understanding. We can differ. There are Sutus, there are Zulus, there are Khoi, there are San, there are Boranas. But broadly, we all belong to this beautiful continent called Africa. All of us. All of us. All of us. We belong in this continent called Africa. Therefore, by our own definition, we are all Africans speaking different languages, practicing different culture, tall, other short, lighter, darker. We are all Africans here. We are dealing with the challenge that we are facing of ensuring that everyone feel accommodated to do what is correct for a society to do. And let us move in that understanding. That's what the understanding that we should do. And we'll deal with it as we respond on some of the issues. Let us go to those who are sitting down, really, our sincere apology for it, on the floor. We wanted it to remain here, but we couldn't stop. Let us move on and deal with another number three. Number three, check the platform. Yes, sir.
Can I speak? The name is Martinus Fredericks, and I will be speaking on behalf of the Ngaman clan, which is one of the five sub-clans of the Namas. Now, what it means, the name Ngaman means Amakwa, if you go back to your history. And the name Amakwa means Karoldrar, or skin wearer. So, the reason why I'm saying this is for people to understand that the area that you normally refer to as Namakwa land actually means the land of the Amakwas. And the boundaries that you put out, that you use currently today, that's not the real boundaries. It stretches from the Berg River up to the Orange River. Now, earlier in a presentation regarding the bill, the issue was raised to say that traditional leaders will be responsible for areas. Khoi leaders will be only responsible for people. Now this here cannot be entirely true. If I take, for instance, my people, which is spread across South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Tonga, Cameroon, and so forth, and they are all diaspora of this South Africa. Now I cannot appreciate that we call South Africa a free and fair South Africa if we don't think about our brothers and sisters. The fact that they reside in so-called sovereign states doesn't mean they are not part of us. They are blood of mine. They are. In fact, the South African government actually did in Namibia exactly what they did in South Africa. If you take, for instance, that going back to 1881, a guy with the name Theophilus Hahn, he presented probably in the same room to the Commission of Native Affairs. He gave an account of the territory of the Namas. He gave an account of the culture, traditions, and all of those of the Namas. And building up towards that, that gave impetus to the development of the Odendaals Commission. And the Odendaals Commission was used to develop the different reserves where you find today a lot of the so-called colors are fixed in the reserves and also lead up to the Bantustans. Now, what is very interesting, there's a tendency to say that the Khoi people lost their land. They never lost their land. In fact, if you take the 1913 Land Act, it was very, very specific. Under Section 8.2, there's an exclusionary clause. If you take that in 1913, there was only three provinces that was Transvaal, Natal, Free State and the Kaap province, which is a Cape. There never was an Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga and so forth. Now that exclusionary clause immediately has to the effect that none of those areas referred to have any influence on the Cape province. That means for the land that belonged to the Cape, to the Khoi and the Sun, they never lost it in real. In history, there's two ways of losing land. One is to engage in battle, like what happened with the Battle of Blauwburg. At the Battle of Blauwburg, when the Cape colony went over from the Dutch to the English, they signed what they call Articles of Capitalization. And in that Articles of Capitalization, the English agreed that the rights of the indigenous people remain entrenched in the taking over. That's the one. The second one is land normally goes over in terms of a sale. Now, nowhere on record could we find that the Nama, except the Kogakwa, where a fake land transfer, land sale happened. So that means the land couldn't. The only reason what probably could have happened, because the Khoi didn't have any resistance to the smallpox, that led to what we almost can call genocide. So most of our Khoi people were then exterminated through smallpox. And what it meant is vast pieces of land were then free, almost like nobody living there. That's what they call the term territorial malleus. Territorial malleus are normally, to say, it's been accepted to be no man's land. It doesn't mean if you leave your home for a few days that your home can all of a sudden be taken over by somebody else. It also relates to the question is, when does something that I take from you, when does it become legal in yours? So if those answers can be, or those questions can be answered, then maybe. Then just coming back to the bill in briefly. The bill itself starts off with the wrong footing. It has no preamble. It has no history where it's coming from. What is it that triggered the issue of that we should have a bill that includes the Khoi and the Sun? So for that it needs to explain what happened to cause it. Was it the UNDRIP report? Was it the various reports which were cited by international observers? Or was it something that has been identified by South Africans? So that needs to be spelled out in the preamble to say what is it that triggered this current bill that is now on the table. Secondly, if you look at the objectives of the bill also, it makes a separation between the traditional, which is presumed to be Xhosa, Zulu, Sotho, Tswana, and then it makes a separation between the Khoi, which is then could then be any of the various Khoi tribes. The big concern regarding this is that the bill doesn't help to close the gap between the Khoi and the Sun or make it even. So all the sections in that bill that refers to Khoi separately and to traditional separately, that doesn't help to make the bill a one bill fits all. Previous speakers have alluded to say that you cannot have a one bill fits all because the culture, history, traditions of Xhosa, Zulu, Sotho and Khoi on the other end are unique. I feel at the moment very disadvantaged for one reason, because I lost my mother tongue. My mother tongue should have been Nama of Khoi Kwa. If you lose your mother tongue, your language, then automatically you lose your identity. Because with the identity goes your language, your culture, your tradition, and obviously your land attached to that. Maybe in a way I'm lucky that part of my family managed to reserve a portion of that in the Namibian land. So that's why when we meet, they may speak in their mother tongue, which is Nama. And for me, it really puts me on the back foot. I need to tell my children what was their history, what was their culture. And that is not something that has been done by us. That is done for us by the apartheid legislation. When they started to change, when they started with the thing of changing our identity from Khoi to colored. Now, in my opinion, the current bill on the table doesn't talk about all the legislation that needs to be repealed. One particular piece of legislation that needs to be repealed is the Mission Stations Act. Act 29 of 1909. That particular act talks about the church will keep the land on behalf of the indigenous people. And that is still the case. But for some other reason, churches have now, their use right is now went over into property rights or owning rights. That is one of the pieces of legislation that seriously needs to look at. So that when that land goes, it needs to revert back to the real indigenous people who should own that land. There's the other issue of, especially in the Namaqualand area, the reserves. The new thing that the Department of Land Reform are talking now about, the issue of CPAs, Community Property Associations. That's a very dangerous thing, because what you do now is you take a particular community, you fence them off, you create an island of wealth in a sea of poverty. That's exactly what you will be doing with those pieces of legislation. You should open up. People should be able to use freely of the resources which is in a particular area. So, additionally to the traditional leadership framework act of 2003, the amendment act, and the main, which is a traditional National Traditional Leaders Act, I would say all legislation that relates to the colored communities, that also needs to be repealed and taken into account in this. So I would say then in closing that this bill is definitely not ready to be accepted. It needs quite a bit of work on it. Thank you.
Okay, let us take number four. Number four.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Chair. Please, man, I was there on top. You said that I will be second when we come in after lunch.
Where are you now?
Yeah, I'm sitting here with the head up.
With the head up?
Yes, sir. I'm going to be quick. Very quick.
Okay, because I invited you, were sitting up there. Take the platform.
Can you see what it is? Guys, yes. All the parties were there, he's a certainty. People, it's something that they are we are sorry for this, madam. Because Marco or sir, because what yesterday for you, and because probably Koisan. I think you come as here, here I sit to run to the body. The first thing that you must herken with God, is that, what are your IDs? Op your ID staat clearly, and take a clearly. That is the first thing that I have to say, so that as Khoisan erkenning kan kry in ons eie land. Dat is die weg as die regering die rechtstel, nou was die iets as ons die sit doen.
Okay, just assist us to allow translation also for the benefit of those who can't speak the language well.
My name is Malcolm from East River. In the first instance, we should not be sitting here today. In this country, we get IDs and there it says that you're a colored. I'm not a colored, I'm Khoisan. This must be fixed, and even through this, where Khoisan must get recognition with a rectification of that category within the ID.
Want as ons teruggaan, 1994 toe, toe ons die wet, want wat gebeur nou is, die karende regering pas nog steeds apartheid wette toe op ons, as ons so-called colors, dat ons kom ons nie geherken word nie. Ons moet eers geherken word in die land van ons, ons Khoisan, dat is ons land. Ons moet geherken word as Khoisan, dan kan ons God sit op so'n platform. En voordat hy op so'n platform sit, al die verskillende groeperings, wat ons noem as Khoisan, soos die nationale, internationale gemeenskap ons ken, moet ons by mekaar kom, en soos die vorige spreker nummer 1 en 2, Fiek en Kwas, gesê, ons moet besluit, wat word van ons self, nie een ander etnische groep kan het doen nie. Ons, kom ek sê so maar, ons is nie traditioneel nie, ons inheems. Jan van Riebeek het my ook voor ons hier kon kry, en hy het hom uit vermoor hier. So ons kan vir ons jaar besluit, waartoe ons as Khoisan beweeg, met mekaar gesels, met unity onder mekaar kry, dan hartelijk ons voor te mense. Dis al, baie dankie.
The government is still practicing apartheid laws. We must be recognized first, then we can have this kind of platform, and that such a platform, all organs must come together. We must decide about our future for ourselves and no other grouping. We are not traditional, but we are the indigenous people of this country.
Thank you very much for your input. Let me assist again, because some of the members were not in when we were giving numbers. We said that we are going to start at 2. We started exactly at 2. Trying to avoid this other time that never existed. Let us take number one, Baba. Number two.
Sorry, Chair, you were on number 4.
No, let us be fair. When we started, others were not in. Let us accommodate everyone. You'll have your time to speak. Let us accommodate everyone, because it'll be difficult again, because some of them are not in, will go on, they will never speak. Let us allow those who are in. I think we are going to get the time. It's number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4 right at the corner, 5, 6. You are number 6, Baba. Wena. Number 6. Number 7. Yeah, with the red one. Number 7. Number 8 at the back. Number 8. No, Baba, number 1. Number 9. Number 10. Number 11. Mfundis. Number 12. Number 13. Your number, I don't know your number. No, I don't know your number. I gave you number 6. Check number 6. Yeah, number 6. No. Yeah, number 6. Number 6.
I have no idea.
Number 6. Number one, check box.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am Chief Johnny Hansen, the head of the Kokokoa Khoi San community, and was ceremoniously appointed in accordance with our cultural ceremony. I hereby want to thank the Chairperson of the Parliamentary Committee for this opportunity. We would like to congratulate the Portfolio Committee for bringing the process to where it is today. We, however, would like to help ensure the bill complies with human rights, equality, and ensure the Khoisan communities can fully form part of the formal legislative processes. While the bill, in particular, its strict criteria provided for recognizing Khoisan communities, which overlook nuances of historical disruption they have experienced. The bill does have potential to enhance the decolonization of the Khoisan peoples in South Africa. These are described below. The bill allows their voices to be included in the House of Traditional Leaders, both nationally and provincially, for the first time since dismantling of apartheid formally. This constitutes access to justice, a fundamental shift for a people that has been neglected for a very long time. Having the Khoisan communities recognized, the bill will greatly assist historical land claims. It will clarify who were the historical communities and help facilitate the realization of the aspiration under the amended Land Restitution Act. The LRA allows community defined as any group of persons whose rights in land are derived from shared rules determining access to land held in common by such groups and includes part of any such group to make claims on dispossessed land subject to other conditions. It will assist the Khoi and the San communities with securing their rights under the Nagoya Protocol of the Convention on Biological Diversity. In allowing communities to enter into benefit sharing agreements and partnership with the commercial sector, the proposed bill will offer clearer leadership structures to the private sector. This is helpful in that it addresses the legal uncertainty and exclusion which has for long typified such agreements where industry or private sector are not sure who are the legitimate communities and leaders. This also greatly compromises the Khoi and the San's right to their traditional knowledge to natural resources. The legal recognition provisions under the bill will assist government in terms of its budgetary allocations for, amongst others, the Khoisan language speakers as well as heritage rights. Government is able to know which communities to assist in this issue and commit revenues to where it matters most. The bill offers the hope for the restoration of our people's cultural identity in that it creates a space for people of Khoisan descent to trace their history and help them understand where they belong. It supports and strengthens their understanding of who they are and where they come from. This development contributes strongly to the decolonization since it assists them to move away from their imposed identity of color and reconnect with their Khoisan roots. As part of our submission, Chairperson, to the bill under discussion, we wish to present on three key issues here today. Our more technical and section-specific input, we will further submit in writing. The criteria for recognition of Khoisan communities, Section 5, restorative approach. Our central concern is around Section 5, referring to the criteria for the recognition of the Khoisan communities. As a historical self-identification by members of the community concerned as belonging to a unique community distinct from all other communities, as a proven history of coherent existence of the community from a particular point in time up to the present. We understand the importance of having a set criteria for our policy implementers to determine who is a legitimate Khoisan community. After 300 years of non-recognition, it is also important for our Khoisan community that recognition occurs with due consideration of the effects of colonialism and apartheid on the customary institutions of the Khoisan communities. The former United Nations Special Rapporteur, Professor Rodolfo Stavenhagen, confirmed during his 2005 visit to South Africa that there is a need to recognize that the historical fragmentation of the Khoisan could pose obstacles for their recognition. A restorative approach is paramount to address the root causes of the Khoisan vulnerability. The apartheid classification as colored, denoting that they were neither European nor black, made the Khoisan socially and politically invisible. It is difficult to prove a history of coherent existence because apartheid policies tore at the social cohesiveness of Khoisan communities. It is important that the bill recognize the impact of his forced assimilation. Likewise, groups may no longer occupy a specific geographical area and may have been forced to stop observing distinctive established Khoisan customary laws and customs. We therefore recommend to the Portfolio Committee that the criteria recognizing the Khoisan communities take a restorative approach in line with the post-apartheid democratic constitution. We specifically recommend the removal of the two requirements of Section 5, 1 and 2. 2, the Premier having power to recognize and ensure withdrawal of Khoisan communities. We also wish to state it clear our concern with the power for both the recognition and withdrawal of the recognition lies with the Premier. We don't feel this is appropriate political level given the importance of this decision. It does place Khoisan communities at a particular vulnerability by giving that decision-making powers to the province. It is not enough for the Premier to send an annual report to the National Minister. We want to recommend that this be a competence of the National Minister. In the alternative, it should be an appeal procedure of the Premier's decision the community can make to the National Minister. 3, our support for the African Commission, the African Union position on Indigenous peoples. We support the African Commission and African Union's approach to the issue of Indigenous peoples in Africa, because we are African by virtue of our Khoisan history. While we are proudly Khoisan cultural communities, we are ultimately Africans. We want this bill to be enacted to ensure the Khoisan access to their group collective rights on par with our fellow Africans. The African Commission have laid down a policy approach to the issue of Indigenous peoples. This approach speaks to the particularities of the continued struggles of African Indigenous communities in post-colonial Africa. In that post-colonial Africa, government should put special measures, not special rights, in place to assist these communities to access their full human rights. the enactment of the bill with due consideration of the particularities of our historical context will be a key restoration step to ensure the Khoisan is fully included as fellow Africans. I deliberately, Chairperson, quote the African position because why apartheid and colonial rules take us away from Africa and create the impression that we are not from Africa. With these few words, Chairperson, we, our community, support this vote and will give due recognition of customary institutions in the Khoisan community. Thank you.
Number two, thank you very much for the input and the presentation we have given to the staff.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Bishop Templeton Bekwa from the Chaplaincy and the National Organizer of NICSA. I'm from Khayelitsha. On behalf of the Nguni-speaking traditional leaders, the reason why Jesus was crucified is because his interest was everybody to inherit the kingdom of God. So the racist system of the Jews crucified him. Some of us are still living in 1913. This is 2016. Cape Town is no longer in Netherlands. Cape Town is in South Africa. All South Africans will benefit from what is coming from Cape Town. And I've got only 2 points, Mr. Chair. Number one, we appreciate the calling and the invitation of us into the parliament today. To us, this is the first step of the good things to come. Historically, there's a healthy relationship between the Nguni-speaking traditional leaders, Griqua Royal House, Kai Koranas, and others. That relationship has been going on for some years now. But the only amendment that we'll ask the committee to consider to us is not inclusive enough. We need this bill to be inclusive, and it does not reflect the people that are residing in the Western Province. We are so assorted in the Western Province. We need an inclusive bill so that it will represent Cape Town and South Africa. Number two, the townships. We want to destroy the myth that say the Nguni-speaking chiefs must go to Eastern Cape. We destroy that and we reject it. Cape Town belongs to all of us. In the townships, there are customary activities and traditional activities that are happening. Wherever you are, for instance, I'm a bishop. If I'm in Bloemfontein, I'm a bishop there. There are no boundaries. So, what you are saying, Mr. Chair, this bill must include every South African that is practicing customary and traditional practices. We've got laws. Not only the Constitution does acknowledge the Nguni-speaking chiefs, but as well, God knows that we are here, and we are here to stay. We are going nowhere.
May God bless you. Amen.
Thank you very much. And number
three. Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. First and foremost, I wanted to thank this splendid opportunity that is afforded to me at this particular moment in time for me to express the aspirations and concerns of a traditional organization or a house where I'm coming from. First and foremost, my name is Zolile and my surname is Feni. I am coming from Amaxesibe Traditional Council as their spokesperson, provincial spokesperson. But I want to make this quite clear and crystal clear for that matter, that Amaxesibe Traditional Council are not Amaxesibe Traditional Council as a representative body of Amaxesibe only, but it is all encompassing of other clans into it. Yeah, because what we are actually striving to see happening in assisting the government in its concerted efforts that is aimed at redressing the evils of the past regime is to ensure that unity prevails. And unity is not something that you dream of and suddenly it happens all by itself. Certain people need to put their heads together and brainstorm around a common cause and common objective. And that common objective for it to be converted into a particular goal achievable, it has to be born out of unity. Because without unity, you are wasting your energy and time. And you are not only wasting yours, but you're wasting other people's time as well. Interpreter, ndifuna kanye ngoba ndi well trained kulo mcimbi wokuthetha into ngesintu ndawugqiba ndizisa apha esilungwini noko ke kwelo cala ndakubanceda oogxa bam ngoba ndihamba nabantu bomthonyama abathetha intetho yakwantu ngokucacileyo endidinga. Andingebi ngujobela phakathi kwentakazana bona bapitshoze ndlapha emveni kwelwezi kolwazi lwam engayivange into endiyithethayo. Now I want to concur and reiterate a certain profound statement that was made by one of the previous speakers bephalukuthetha. Ithi la previous speaker iyamangaliswa okoba kusathethwa ngokukhangelwa okanye ngemigudu nemigushuzo ye-recognition in this bill. Now, uthi, we are not after being recognized, but we are after being acknowledged. Because we know exactly who we are. And I'm not going to bore anyone with a lengthy, boring speech here. Because I am not in any way teaching a business concept. But I am here to articulate categorically what we need the government to do for us. Because we must respect the fact that the powers for acknowledgement are vested with the government. We can want what we want and seek what we seek, but if the government, through its political will, is not cooperative in what we want to achieve, we are going to talk about this until cows come home laughing. Kufuneka sizinwenge, sizicenge, ngoba mna in my view, your disappointment with your previous marriage has got nothing to do with a new marriage that we're having today. It's pointless to cry foul of things that were done by the previous regime to the government of the day. Our responsibility, if our common logic serves us so well, is to make sure that we assist the government in a manner that will actually see us arriving at a particular destination in terms of what was robbed of us from us. Ndizama ukuthi akunathi ukulilela amanqabakazi awafumene kumtshato ogqithileyo ongasekhoyo ozohlukene nawo. Kulo mtshato unawo wesibini unawo ngoku. Ngoba lolu mtshato unawo unanto okwenza nomtshato obunawo ngaphambili. Ngoku masithethe izinto ezizosinceda kulo wethu urhulumente. And thina we firmly believe that urhulumente esinawo unendlebe. Sakumbona ngokungasenzi iinkosi ezivunyiweyo come March next year. Andifuni noba ndizulazule sithi ke hayi unfortunately was managed to remove uFaro in governance only to replace him with Potiphar. Ubeyasazozosikritsha. Sikwazile ukumsusa uFaro wengcinezelo. Akasazi okaba simbuyekeza ngoPotifaro onesimaphambili othe umtholo wawenza nzima ngakumbi kunokuqala. Now ke into esiyithethayo ke kuwe Mr. Chair, Honorable Chair, Honorable Chair. And your colleagues, and your colleagues. And your colleagues, I had to express my profound appreciation for what you have endeavored to do that is a manifestation of what is happening in the house, because this is long has been waited for. That when will the government listen to the lamentations of the people from traditional leadership? I always say when I'm asked by the journalist as to, guys, how do you see traditional leadership in the cities and how is it going to practice its customs and rituals? My answer to that, even to the government at large, even to the politicians that are always commonly asking this question to us, that a person by very nature of God, wherever he is and moving to, his shadow is always linked with him. Our royal lineage to which we are claiming an acknowledgement of traditional leadership in existence is the way they get in particular. It is in the same way with your shadow. Because if I walk out of this building, I will not see any other person's shadow except the shadow of myself. Such as this traditional leadership is attached to a person. Because we are not claiming something that must be recognized by the government. Because even today's politicians are born out of traditional leadership. Because, at first, during early centuries, the countries such as what is happening in Great Britain, you talk of Jews, princes and kings. You don't talk of anything else. Why not here in our own indigenous land? Why is it questionable that where do you see the role of traditional leadership playing its part in the cities, whereas it is supposed to be in the Eastern Cape? If there is anyone that is still harboring that myopic view, so to speak, that myopic and ill-informed view, he must ask himself as to why do we have councillors in the cities that are coming from Eastern Cape? Because here in the Western Cape, if the Western Cape is not meant for any black leadership to exercise its leadership activities, then Western Cape is supposed to have
councillors of a particular colour only, so that we don't have black councillors in the Western Cape, and they must accordingly be removed to Eastern Cape, if that is the case. Western Cape is not an island. It's not a country on its own. It's part of South Africa. Therefore, it has to be friendly, welcoming everybody across the board, irrespective of a particular province. Because there is no province that is designated for a certain clique, of ethnical and racial group. South Africa, Western Cape, is for everybody, irrespective of color. Never.
No.
Honorable Chairperson, I think I do have a mammoth responsibility to educate people about their own history. Because it seems that are left in a pygmies that do not know their history. I think I do have that responsibility, and I'm well capacitated.
Okay.
Leave her alone to burn out until she reduces herself into ashes. Yeah. Now, what? Chairperson, protect me. What is this man?
No, Speaker. Hold on. Well, please take your seat.
Chairperson.
This is for everybody.
Okay. Try to conclude now.
Yeah. Chairperson.
Okay.
Chairperson, in the House at large, I'm wrapping up. Our amendment.
No. I think. No. See, I'm not sure who's at the back. Please, we'll allow you platform to talk. Don't disturb the meeting. Allow other people to speak.
Chairperson, let me wrap up. Only two points that I want you to put together. The consolidation and repeal of Act 2003 that seeks to consolidate the Khoi and San Bill so that their traditional house of recognition, so to speak, as per the document says, is actually finally realized, but there are omissions in the bill which do not speak anything about Nguni Nation. That is something that we need to carry across and take serious consideration, because the juristic boundaries that we have in the Western Cape will not allow, and because we are not here to enhance in perpetuity the supremacy of a particular racial group over others. That takes into account and make sure the bill is complete and sufficient enough to accommodate all ethnic groups from all persuasions. Thank you.
That man is being provocative and he's provoking our people, and I don't think it's fair. Point of order, Chief.
Okay, let us proceed. Okay. I'm not
Point
sure.
Point of order, Chief.
I'm not sure what is happening at the corner. Yeah,
that's it. The speaker, that is Perzia, he is provoking the people. He is provoking the people with the things that he is saying. He is in actual fact telling our people that we are a bunch of stupid that needs to be educated by him. And I don't think that that is fair. So he either stop what he is doing because he is provoking our people. But there's going to be a big thing happening here right now.
Let us come back again.
Let us
not have many point of order.
No, it's not a point of order. Can I just...
Firstly, no, just hold on. The table there is a little bit...
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Chairman.
On top of the air.
I know. Can I just help you guide you?
I'll give it to you, but what we should avoid, though, is that this is a public hearing. We must allow everyone to express his or her view. Without really going to, we must also tolerate other people. And then everyone has a view about this. I have a view also about this. Let us allow the leadership to speak again, take the floor, tolerate each other. It's just important. Because if you don't do that, they will do that to you when you speak. It can't work that way. The fact that you understand history doesn't mean that I understand history as you understand it. Anyway, none of you have written this history, many of you anyway. You just be careful that you don't overemphasize generalities of history and then cause unnecessary confusion. You wanted to assist us.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. I think just to guide the house and so that we continue to respect one another because we have different views, different insights, and we've come here, whether we oppose the bill or support the bill, you know, that is our prerogative. Just to guide you, Chair, is because I know that you want people to give their views and, you know, and to be open. But I think just as a guide from your side is that people must keep their comments precise and concise and, you know, and not provoke people so that we respect one another at the end of the day. Thank you.
No, I think we are missing a point. In fact, I've allowed many people who spoke here for minutes and minutes. And then precisely because we want everyone to speak. There will always be people here who will make us angry when they speak sometimes, but let us tolerate them and listen to them and make our own point when we're giving a platform.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let us take number four.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Hi, Chase, everybody. I am number four, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I am number four.
Continue with number four. Thank you. Mr. Chairman,
I'm Chief Planner.
I'm proceeding now because we came.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Can you take control?
Where are you?
I'm right here.
I'm here myself.
I went over there. You indicated two numbers to me, and now I've moved to the back. And now you allow someone else to intercede while I have the mic.
I think it would be fair to take a lady to speak.
It's not about the gender issue, it's about the fact that I am the next person to speak.
No. You must speak. I'm giving you a
platform. There will never be peace. There will never be peace.
Take the platform. We'll see peace after we're
spoken. If the land, economic and cultural rights of the Aboriginal Khoisan peoples is not restored. So now you need to see me.
Speak.
I am. I had to move my seat. I was told to move the seat.
Take it easy. We are here to assist everyone as a
Well, it is your process. You give me the number, then one of your officials tells me to move my seat, and the man in front of me is totally being totally disrespectful and laughing, and so do you. But I don't see any humor in what I'm about to say. And I find this to be a mark of total disrespect. I stand here in good relation to my ancientness. I stand here in good relation to my cultural rights. So please, give me an equal opportunity to speak like I have done to everybody else before me. If we want to talk about our deep sense of humility.
But we have
to you as the chair and all protocol reserved. This submission is the assessment of IRASA, the Institute for the Restoration of the Aborigines of South Africa, and the House of Udasowa on the traditional and Khoisan leadership bill. Number one. The authors of the traditional and Khoisan leadership bill ensured that the laws of South Africa are not in harmony with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples and the ILO Convention 169. This has become the autonomous routine by the South African government by which the sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan leaders and its peoples are addressed. As the constitutional entrenched framework firmly denies the recognition and full participation of the sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan peoples, which remains intact as our ancestors and us, as the descendants, did not consent to the establishment of the Republic of South Africa in our country. Number two, this bill is not a process of respectful partnership, consultation, and negotiation. In fact, none of the administrative processes concerning the rights of sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan people supports conciliation, as we remain the most marginalized people and we are still alienated from our ancestral lands and resources. Number three, nowhere in this bill does it refer to the primary relationship upon which this colonial and neo-colonial country was built, neither the relationship between the people who invaded and subsequently settled, nor the destruction of the social structures of the sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan peoples. Number four, there remains an incredible power disconnect between the South African government with all its resources and misguiding attempts with the sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan communities, particularly those who are allowing themselves to be misled, coerced, and manipulated into the recognition of any form of Aboriginal leadership which is measured by the state. Number five, we cannot outline and accept the recognition and demand of sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan leadership without customary laws and protocols, which is a key aspect of preserving the cultural and legal identity of the Aboriginal Khoisan peoples. Nor can leadership be considered without the right of ownership, which is the fundamental obligation of this government. Number six, there is no clearness on the interaction of customary laws between leadership, the community, and intellectual property systems as a basis for sustainable community-based development, thereby strengthening our sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan identity and promotion of cultural diversity in South Africa. Is this too intricate when considering our rightful claim to our ancestral land and natural resources? In conclusion, the appropriateness and accommodation of our right to self-determination cannot be manipulated by the current president or premiers, since this is the foundation of any or established sovereign Aboriginal Khoisan treaty rights and is central to decision making, good governance, and policy development. This bill will further strain the relationship between Aboriginal Khoisan peoples and non-Aboriginal Khoisan peoples in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Please submit your presentation to the Secretary of the Portfolio Committee. It's very useful for us to have a copy. She's not around.
Thank you, Nam.
Yamos.
Hello?
No, Vule want. Vule J want, Nam. Press A1.
We press one.
The one the back is on.
Oh, switch off that one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for your conduct of the meeting. I have brought 9 maps, which I'm not going to talk to, but I will mention. The map starts from 1652, the 5th of April, progressively to 1990. The first map is on how this country was inhabited before the whites came. The second map is on the expulsion and genocide of the Tsar. The third map is on the colonial expansion under the Dutch rule. Colonial expansion under the British rule. Colonial expansion under the Fort Trekker. Major population movements as a result of Impekane and Fort Trek. Calendar of conquest. How the conquest proceeded from 1652 to today. Native reserves as a consequence of the 1913 Act and the 1936 Act. Then the Group Areas Act. So those are the maps, Mr. Chairman, they are here. Everybody will be able to see how this country evolved. When the whites came to this country, there were 3 races in this country.
Okay.
It was what the whites called the light-skinned, indolent, hottentot. Two, what the whites called the savage, yellow-skinned bushmen. And the third one was the dark-skinned Bantu Negroid. These were the 3 people. Those people are there in the colored community. The colored community consists of Africans from Mozambique and Angola. It also consists of Malaysians from Asia. And it also consists of the Khoikhoi, who are indigenous to this soil. Then we come to the Zan. The Zan people, it was difficult for the whites to control them because they had grass tents in the meadows and they had fortifications of caves in the mountains. So they were elusive. As a result, there's not a single statistic that can tell you how many Zan were here when the whites came. Now let me come very briefly to myself. I am Vuyisile Dlova. I am representing, I'm the convener of the Zan Gwa. That is the circumcised Zan, who have circumcised since 2 million years ago. Zan Gwa. We are still called Zan Gwa even today. Zan Gwa. I am a bush male, yellow-skinned bush male, whom the whites fought with here. I was a general in the Azanian People's Liberation Army, and I had 100 caves I used in South Africa here that I was shown by my father at a very early age, and I used them
when I was fighting the white as the director of infrastructure of the Azanian People's Liberation Army.
Yeah.
I am also a professor of law.
Yeah.
There is nothing to quarrel about yet. I've got relatives amongst the colored. I've got relatives amongst the Negroid Bantu. And they are an indigenous people. South Africa was born in 1910. South Africa is born in 1910. It is by a British Act, not a South African Act.
Yes.
South Africa is an integral part of Africa. We must live in that. What we want here is land. The people of the Western Cape were not appropriated any land. When Van Riebeeck, when Verwoerd created the Bantustan, he gave Bantustan mainly to the Negroid element. And there was no Bantustan in the Western Cape. So it is important that you use this opportunity to access the land. The important thing here is not salary, it's the land that people must access. In conclusion, Mr. Chairman, I want just to say that let's approach this not from apartheid spectacles. Let's approach it from the sense that we want everybody in this country to be liberated. That is what I wanted to say, Mr. Chairman. This is not a war between Nguni and whoever else. I'm not a Nguni at any rate. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let us proceed to number 6. Mare, take the platform now.
Thank you, Mr. James. I am Griqua from Khoisan Roots, so I'm a bit short, that's why I'm standing. Mr. Chairman, I don't want to repeat what's already been said, because we're wasting time. I want to say I concur with speaker number one. I concur with speaker number two. I concur with Tanya Plenum. I have a bit of problem with some of the other statements made. So I will try and keep it in summary form. I'm standing here, Pina Maria, representing the Griqua Royal House, Asukof, and also the Triple B, of which I'm the president. Now I want to tell you what did advocate Tommy and Sewa say when he addressed the National Khoisan Council on the 5th April 2013. He said he worked with the Department of Traditional Affairs and he claimed the following. There's no community in South Africa, he says, that can claim to be more indigenous than others. He also says the Freedom Charter states South Africa belongs to all of us. He also says the Sun are not the same people which anthropologists refer to. He also said the Sun is ancestors of all living human beings, dating from the Stone Age. And he said blacks and whites are all descendants of the Sun, therefore. So what does it mean? The Sun is the First Nation.
I'm not there.
If the Sun are the original cradle of mankind,
then we are
which anthropologists claim they are, then all human beings descend from them. So how can you argue we're not First Nation? Mr. Chairman, I would like to ask you to determine whether the NKC has now come to an end. Their work is done was established after Nelson Mandela said, you must bring the Khoisan people into the mainstream of traditional leadership. This bill puts us in a side stream. We're not mainstream. But when they established the NKC, I want to ask, what was the criteria for recognizing them? Must they play along to be recognized? Now we must, this criteria for the rest of us, to prove we are Khoi, we are San, we are Korana, or we are Griqua, but there was no criteria for the NKC. During apartheid, they had a pencil test. They put the pencil through your head, and if it stuck, you covered. And if it goes through smoothly, you say you colored. And now this government is going to again, the premier has a pencil. Be careful. A dye pencil. Dear, you are a glad gun. It's a unicorn. Are they expecting us now to prove we have koi hair to be Khoisan? Must I dance the real dance? Is that the criteria? Must I eat certain foods? Must I wear certain clothes? I stay in an upmarket, a white suburb in Durbanville. Most of my neighbors are black South Africans, but they eat sushi. They don't eat millipap and flesh. So are you going to say they don't qualify to be in Guni? They don't stay in huts anymore. They stay in triple story houses. The current people are not the people that they were 400 years ago. But we are the only people who have the Khoisan chromosome, which was given to us by our Khoisan mothers. And this fact was proven by Professor Eileen Hope of Stellenbosch University. She conducted DNA tests on 985 colored families on the Cape Flats. Hitchup, Ravensweet, Elsie's River, Bella. They chose these colored families randomly and tested their DNA. And they all had the Khoi chromosome. Which proves we were the first people, we were the descendants of the first people. I agree with my professor friend here. The current people is a cosmopolitan of color. We have West African blood. We have European blood. He left that out. We have Malaysian blood. And we have Khoi blood. That has also been proven. And you know what? I had several meetings with Madiba. We were very good friends. And Madiba told me, my mother was a great one. And that is why we were not big friends, because my father is a Griqua, and I can prove it with a birth certificate, which I have here in my satchel. Yeah. But you know what? My father's birth certificate reads Griqua. Mine reads mixed. And my green ID card says Cape Colored. They call me Colored. But it's not me who turn red when I'm angry. I don't turn blue when I'm cold. The whites do that. So they the colors. My solution is, P.V. Botha decided we are colors. And Foster and all the others did the same. But you know what? Nobody ever asked me, somebody said, who I am. We need a census. in my job application, there are three blocks, white colored or black. Every time I fill in my tax form, there's blocks, white colored or black. I want them to put the block there, indigenous, so I can put down my name, I'm indigenous. And that way, you will know how many of us there are. Not the premier, because each of the nine premiers will have a different criteria. And he will be influenced by political functionaries as to whether he accepts that Meselag here is Griqua or not. Depends on how he voted in the last election. We cannot allow that. Mr. Chairman, the position of the Griqua Royal House and the Triple B is the following. While we appreciate the efforts made to give recognition to the Khoisan and Griqua in particular, we reject the bill in its present form. We believe that the minister's good intentions will not pass judicial scrutiny, as it does not comply in every respect with the dictates of our country's constitution and the Bill of Rights. We believe that the minister's intentions were perhaps unduly influenced and showed bias towards black traditional communities. The bill is not of general application to both Nguni as traditional leaders and Khoisan and other indigenous groups. If you read section 5, 7 and 10.1, you will come across that. They don't even call us traditional leaders. We are Khoisan, but not traditional leaders. So it's not of equal application. I don't know why they didn't make two bills, one for traditional leaders and one for us. Why mix the two up? To show us that we are inferior. Mr. Chairman, the bill affords elevated status and special privileges to Nguni traditional leaders. And it's not equally applicable to the Khoi and the Griqua. And we maintain, and I'm sure, Professor, you will agree with me, wherever there is special privileges in any society, there cannot be equality. Special privileges mean some have more rights than others. Equality and human dignity, I must remind you, of all citizens are non-derogable rights. Non-derogable mean Parliament cannot even change it by a law. Parliament cannot pass any law that brings about inequality or offends people's dignity. It's unconstitutional. The bill don't adequately address issues of historical injustices. And I want to say, we therefore declare that even if the right to self-identification, which was mentioned here, even if that right is not at present recognized by this government, it ought to be recognized. Why should we prove who we are if we have a history that can prove that? Who of those sitting here, my friends, and yes, we are brothers, we're brothers in Christ. God didn't make a black Adam and Eve and a colored one and a white one. Only made one Adam, one Eve. So we're all brothers. But what I want to say is this. Who of you will be insulted or have been insulted by having to go to a premier to declare whether you are Zulu or Khoisan? There will be wars in the nation. I want to see that this bill says all the Zulus must apply to be called Zulu. And their criteria to be declared Zulu, whether you've been to the bush or not, there will be war. Why do you do it to us? We're going to sit here and say, this is a moment in our history where we can change the course of history. Our culture, our distinctiveness which the Bible speaks of, our uniqueness which the Bible requires, that was bastardized by colonialists. It was bastardized and destroyed over four centuries by the apartheid government. Our coherent existence, the books talk about our specific geographic areas. Unlike that of the Nguni tribes, was destroyed. And now this bill makes it a precondition. They admit it was destroyed, but they say you're going to prove you still have it. How can I have something that's been taken from me? My language, my culture, my customs, my land. And now we must prove to a premier we have all those things before we can get the certificate of recognition. I say to you, more than 750,000 colored people were resettled under the Group Areas Act. The minister himself in Parliament at the time announced it. They never resettled any black genocide. It's our land that was taken away. Otherwise, anybody of my friends here must tell me who of them has been moved in the Western Cape under the Group Areas Act. They haven't. We were moved under Group Areas Act from all over the coloured race of both. Now we had the TBVC state. I'm going away from my speech because a lot of times here, those people already said. In 1960, let's take you down memory lane, and professor's here to check if I'm lying. In 1960, the apartheid government asked the people of Transkei in a referendum, do you want independence? They voted yes. They asked the people of Maputo Tswana, they asked Mangopi, do you want independence? They voted yes. They asked Opa Gorza of Siskai, he said yes. They asked Venda, he said yes. And they had self-government. Of course the ANC was not in favor of it, they rejected it. But still, those traditional leaders took independence. Do you know what? After 94, they did away with these TBVC states, but they maintained the geographic boundaries as areas of authority for the traditional leaders. Can you see that? Slowly, slowly catch a mousey. Now, where was your traditional areas of jurisdiction which the current representative council got in 1969? Remember they gave Sunny Leo and the other Hendrickson a CRC? And we had areas of jurisdiction over all colored areas, including Amalatstein, Zuwar, Eelam, Genadendal, Mitchell's Plain, Atlantis, Bella, that was our areas of jurisdiction. Why don't they give it back? Why can't our chiefs and our senior men then have authority over all those areas? Then you already own 3/4 of the Western Cape. What we are asking is for equal treatment. Don't tell me I ask for group areas. I ask for section 235 of this constitution to be implemented. And section 235 says, irrespective of the fact that this is a unitary state in one country, it does not stop any community sharing a common culture and a common language within a geographic area to ask for self-determination. You have a right. You have a right to that. And now, I want to remind you what the Honorable Mr. Philemon Mapulani said. He was quoted in the newspaper. Mr. Mapulani, you said, the intention of this bill is to correct historical injustices which
Honorable Mare. Let us try to wrap up because I just worried about the lady was raising cut people. But do you see how difficult it is to cut leaders? No, I'm just saying that can't be short. Because if I cut you short, another one is long, can't work that way. Public hearing by their very nature are like this. Try to come to a conclusion, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I've learned in my long political career to respect the chairman as long as he's fair and treats everybody equally. Now, I think a lot of you people here have spoken twice as long as I have. I just want to remind you. Let me then come. I will have to just basically move it out because he must be being. Also, let's come to customary law. Now, I want my friends here to listen. Customary law is a bottom-up and not top-down issue. It's not somebody at the top telling me what's customary law. It is always subject to the will of the community and continues to change and adapt over time. Customary law isn't something because my forefather hunted with a bow and arrow, I must come to Parliament with a bow and arrow. We've moved on. Ek rei nie meer Osobaan nie, ek rei Mercedes-Benz en BMW. So who is going to determine what is customary law? My wife married in a white gown with pearls in her hair. En ek slag ook nie meer beest nie. Ons koop nou by Kentucky Fried Chicken. So, what is customary law? Ja, ek het ook nie laat boor na gaan sê nie, maar wat dit geen vroeg. Ja. Let me now say, ek had now say what is our proposals, how we can improve it. And I just want to go, you see I've got a lot, I will hand the rest into you. I wanted to remind you of the Universal Declaration on Cultural Diversity, which this government has signed. I can't read it now, I have little time, but this government has bound itself to the Universal Declaration on Cultural Diversity, and this says, amongst others, Article 8 says, the right of indigenous people and individuals not to be subjected to forced assimilation or destruction of their culture is recognized. The right of indigenous communities to practice and revitalize their cultural traditions and customs is recognized. Not prove you are that. Revitalize what I've lost. We ask the following. I maintain there are 4.85 million indigenous people out there. They are called colored. Unless anybody here who's indigenous can tell me he's got no relatives that's named colored, then you've got no argument. Then you are mixed blood, just like me. So, the people hitherto classified as colored should be allowed to partake in the census, like I said, because who I am and with whom I choose to associate should be a personal choice and not be at the whims and fancies of any political functionary. Chiefs and indigenous leaders of our people who have legitimate claims to to such leadership should receive the same status as those of Nguni traditional leaders. Land ownership, like in the case of black people, should allow for both private and communal land ownership and be held in trust for us. Moet asseblief nie gaan sê hulle moet vir jou die plaas sien nie. So God is day.
Okay, thank you.
I want even a last one, sir.
Thank you,
sir.
Because you are once a member, you know when the speaker said, thank you, sir, to stop.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank
you. Conclude. You'll allow others also to participate. Time is not on our side.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma.
Greetings to the traditional leaders and the chairman. I am the deputy chairperson of the Makosibe clan in the Greater Khayelitsha. My surname is Thetane, but I won't speak so much. I want to emphasize the fact that when they were busy making this bill, there was a mistake because the Nguni clan was not mentioned on the bill. They are only referring to Khoisan. It is precisely because there is a perception that other tribes that are here in South Africa are not coming from South Africa but are coming from other countries, foreign countries. I felt very disappointed because some of the speakers were on the platform were reprimanded, whereas some of the speakers were on the podium were given a free airtime to speak. The custom is that when a person is out of order, then you must actually ask the chairperson to put that person in order. No person here is supposed to go straight to a person who is on the podium to say that person is out of order, unless it's the chairman himself. By all of us who are here, according to the nature of God, no one has got the right to count how many tooth you have. That thing is being done when you are trading with your livestock. It's whereby you can mention, okay, this cattle or a goat has got so many teeth and so on. I was so happy and so grateful where we were given this opportunity to come here and speak on this traditional bill. We must take cognizance that we have certain professions like teachers, soldiers and nurses, whereby at the end of the month they go and withdraw the money at the bank on payday. Also, we must take cognizance that we people who are living here in the Western Cape, we live in various places. Therefore, if you are staying in Bonsall, you don't have the right to be in control on say, or say what I must do, whereas I'm living in Khayelitsha. There are some traditional customs whereby in an African culture, when a girl has been impregnated by someone, then there must be a payment that should be made as a compensation. But some of the people are not aware of that traditional
act.
According to our customary law, when someone is getting married, there must be a dowry or a lobola that must be paid. I want to put to you, Chairperson, that there was a plea or a clearing call that was called for us to practice cultures. Now, there is also another new phenomenon which says that we must be recognized, whereas we have already submitted documentation which proves as to who we are. The Premier put it clear that she cannot recognize traditional leaders who are not getting paid for their role. I want us to close or to consolidate the wording called Khoi and Sen. It must be consolidated to one name. Chairperson, as I sit down, I want to put it to you that the material conditions on the ground, especially to us who are living in the Western Cape, we need money, we don't need land, because the situation that we live under, it needs us to have money in order to move forward. Therefore, I move that. Let us accept this bill.
So thank you very much for the presentation. Let's take number 8. Number 8.
Number 8.
Yeah, Baba.
silence when I talk, because I've listened to you all. I'm the Tom Chief of Wynans. And perhaps you haven't heard of us. And sometimes we haven't heard of you. Because we have learned some of our history from the Griquas. But when we found out who we are, then you are wasting my time when you talk. Point of order. I sit here the whole day and listen to all of you. So give me my time, please.
Let us allow him.
Okay. So, since 16 is a point of order, I just want to make a request. It was very rude. Our previous speaker spoke, people walked up and down, and it is not fair towards, I want to say it was not fair towards our chief. I expect that this house will give the same respect that they have given to all the other speakers before.
Yes.
And I think it's high time that we must put up that order. With all due respect, it was very rude to the previous speaker, and it's very rude to the speaker now.
But just to say that they came there to request to get shoes because they are going far. They are using transport, they must go for it. They are very far. That's why we allow them to move. And because we wouldn't stop them when they are saying the transport is already waiting for them. They want to go. The distance is a little bit farther than we thought. I think we should accept the apology and continue.
Okay. The reason why we do not accept this bill is for the following. We are on that farm since 1652 or 1645. And we are still on that farm. We were there for three wars. The First World War, the Second World War, and the apartheid laws. We are still there. Even the democratic society that we all brag about, farm communities don't know about that. Because the same people that was there since the First War are there, since the Second War are still there. So we are living under the same rules since 1652. So we thought that this bill, when we first see this bill, when we talk about this bill, we thought that this is our chance out. Our communities have now an opportunity to get out. This bill don't give us that. This bill said we must ask now. Alright? We were there. The Boers, they hunted us and bring us back on the farms. They make us live there because they don't understand the ground. They don't understand the animals. They don't know how to plant. They don't know when the wind comes. They don't know when the winter comes. We have to show them all the plants, the medicine, what they can eat, what they can't eat. And we are still there. That is come. We are still there. So we reject this bill because this bill don't give our community, our community leaders, our people, they don't give us a way out. They are part of the oppression. Like the democratic law that we have, we are still oppressed. Alright? That is why I have to say something. So our contribution is if you want to change the bill, keep that land that the white man chased us away and put us back on the land, give that land back to us. Right? Give the mountain back to us because our caves are still there in the mountains that we draw. We are living three trees, three steps away from the mountain. We can't get on the mountain. We are living close to the rivers. We must not swim in the rivers. So while you are fighting over the scraps of the white man, we are still struggling there. And when you go home, right, you go to the cafe and buy the tomatoes, you buy the onions, all that stuff that came from the people that is on that farm. And you don't think about them. You just eat it. You just wear it. But these people are still struggling. Right? So whenever you try to make a law in this house, think of us there. And when you go out for your break and to eat, think how we provided for you.
So you must provide for us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for your important presentation. Let's take number 9. Number 9, yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm number 9. Mr. Chairman, before I start talking, I want to move the motion of the gentleman just spoke, the Nama. I was there at the place where they stayed. There's a river with a lot of diamonds. They don't own those diamonds. They don't even have shares in those diamonds.
Yeah.
I therefore move that motion because the white people took our land and mountains. Let me introduce myself to you. My home name is Nane. My manhood name is Mbekwa. My surname is Finiza. I use the surname of Kume because Finiza is Kume's son. I am the grandson of the late Chief Finiza. I am the head of the chiefs in the Xhosa tribe, because my grandfather was the chief. We crossed the Mbashe River 1906 from Xhosa to Kajane. My father came in Cape Town 1922. And my father decided to stay in Cape Town. And I was born here in 1949. I'm a full Cape Townian. I've got my tribe at home. I'm the head of the clan. There is no one in the clan of Amanzoto who is bigger than me, let alone that I'm now in Cape Town. Our history says that we were the first one who was attacked by the white people when they came with the boat and they crossed and they came in retreat. We were there in that place. And we were the first one before the Khoisan was attacked this side of the mountain, and we went up. We were with the other clans that was with us, and we end up in Xhosa. We are now back in Cape Town. We are not recognized in this province. I cannot call myself a chief, but I'm born a chief. There is no one within my clan. I am recognized by King Zwelonke Sigcau. I'm at the bottom of him. There is no clan, there is no chief that is above me in my tribe. Anyone who says there is someone, you must stand up and elaborate in front of me and say, I'm a liar. Let me now say, before I start my statement, that this is a task for you to go to King Zwelonke Sigcau and say, your chief has put it in front and is claiming. I've got documents, correspondence within my briefcase that I wrote to him claiming back. But I am a Cape Townian, I don't want to be there anymore because I stayed for 9 years trying to claim. I saw my life is in danger. I'm a Cape Townian. We were forcibly removed 1962 from Claremont, where I was born, to Guguletu. All these old townships, Guguletu, Bonti, Volnyanga, Hazelfield, Mannenberg, Anova, Parkwood, Elsies, those are all my brothers that were forcibly removed. And we were not separated, as I can hear, as other brothers are saying, because we won. When we fought against the white people, we're doing it together. The Western Cape was on fire. Yeah. I therefore ask my brothers to withdraw of all what they said about us, because we are what they are, and they are what we are. If you can look at that brother straight opposite me, and look at him, and look at me, what difference do you see between him and me? I'm definitely sure if blood can be taken from me and him, you will see the same blood. Tortures and coincidence, tortures are from coincidence. Let them stop it. I need them to stop it from now on and deliver to those who left this house that please, let us not say what we are saying. We must not forget that these are our brothers. And Mr. Chairman, when fire was on against us by the white people, many of the Khoisan mixed themselves amongst the Indians, mixed themselves amongst the Arabs. That is why they a little bit the others. They are the Khoisan. I know that they are the Khoisan, but their blood is mixed. My blood is just like his blood. I want just to speak before I go in what I've just wrote here. Mr. Chairman, my brother, he knows that we, when we get callings from our ancestors and calls to the river, I'm not going to say what comes out there. He knows what comes out there. And I'm one of that. And I am the generation of the Tigran Khoggans who was on the river. I was told how to call and from which generation am I. As Tortas know that, in my claim, as I am the grandson of Feneza, I know that who his father is. His father is Kume, his grandfather is Nuwe, his great-grandfather is Maseba. It's Nyelenzi, it's Mapango. Therefore, I want to again repeat and say, I'm applying for my brother to withdraw what all of them said. Before I go in again here, there's another thing I want to say. I reject the religious people within our traditional leaders. I personally reject, because they come with the Christianity, which we were colonized with that religion. And I reject the Islamic amongst our leaders. I still practice the old ancestors' religion. I get calls to go to the river, to the bush, to the mountains. Let me start now. Mr. Chairman, I am from the Western Cape, Capetonians, traditional leaders. Western Cape, Capetonians, traditional leaders. We came together as Capetonians to form up these traditional leaders. I would like them to accept us. We are new, but there was a reason that we have constituted in order that they must know us. I'm not talking about Porter. I'm not talking about Sotho, I'm not talking about Wono, because I'm in the Western Cape. I don't think that this bill can exclude us as Capetonians, because we were born and we grew up. There's a lot of families in those townships, Guguletu, Langa, Nyanga, Bondigo, lots of families. Then, my brothers and sisters have spoken of a lot of things here. I'm only going to come forward with a proposal that says we have voluntarily worked for the government in our community for many years. I put references of what I did in my community. I therefore propose that the ward headmen that we are going to appoint, the ward sub-council chiefs, the ward sub-region chiefs, the ward regional chiefs and the ward provincial chiefs to be accepted, and that the municipality must accept, and we must get money out of the community work that we are getting, not only councillors. Go on with the beautiful law, but speak about those volunteers that were volunteering during the apartheid time. I was in the structures of SANCO. I was in the structures of the ANC. I was all over. My grandfather attended in 1912 when the ANC was launched. He was sent by King Kwelinkume to go there. I am still involved. I am now as the chief here. Please, be quickly. And the first ward that you must look at is Ward 11, Ward 14, and Ward 17, where I'm at the chief at in and around Rubuletu, Menenbeck, and Nyanga. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. So, Richard, number 10, take the floor.
Ek wil net almal groet. Ek is Martinus Pieters. Ek is van die Bergevee velde. Gorikwakoi. Ek wil vir julle almal sê, ek wil eintlik 'n vraag vra aan die voorsitter vandag. Ons sit vandag hier om 'n bil goed gekeer te kry. Maar na 1994 het ons eie regering, die huidige regering, nog van nalaat om die regte van die eerste nasie volgens die grondwet goed te keer. Ons sit vandag met 'n grondwet waarin die koi, die san en die klein namas nie eens een reg in het nie. Maar vandag sit ons ten een tafel om die traditionele bil, die koisan bil, te wil aanvaar. Terwyl daar rechter is van een nasie wat gevertrap was, een nasie wat nie gehoord mee het, een nasie wat een taal gehad, wat van hom afgesteel was. Hoe kan die regering van die dag hierdie goed miskyk? Ons sit vandag met die grond met German en Dutch los. Ons jong mense op die straat vandag, ons kyk, dan sien ons hulle moor mekaar uit, maak mekaar dood. Ouers gee die kinders skuld, kinders gee die ouers skuld. Dis die regering se skuld. Ons jong mense op die straat het nie regte nie. Hulle het nie 'n taal nie. Ek praat vandag Afrikaans wat nie eens my inheemse taal is nie. My voorouers kon nie hulle taal op skool uitgeoefen het nie. Daar was al wet ingestel, julle moet Afrikaans praat. Vandag erken die regering nie aan taal, waarvan die Khoisan, die inheemse volk van Suid-Afrika, nie eens erken word as 'n taal. Hulle grond, ons het nie regte nie. Dink aan 'n naam soos Babelberg, inheemse naam, Gorikwakoi. Aan wie behoort het vandag? Wie vandag die seggenskap oor Babelberg? Nie die inheemse mense nie. Ons kyk na 'n land, so mooi, Suid-Afrika. En as die regering van die dag praat, dan praat hulle van
die 1913 naturele wet. Die 1913 wet was nie deur die Khoisan geïmplementeerd nie. Die 1913 wet wat ingestel was, was ingestel aan hulle die hier gekom het, wat die land gestuur het. As daar enige titel achter is vandag, dan trek ek my woorde terug, as daar enige titel achter is vandag, wat die staat kan bewys, waar die Khoisan geteken het, om die grond aan die Setwas te gee, aan die Nguni te gee, aan die Tosa te gee, dan trek ek my woorde terug.
First Nation rights or status of the Khoisan and Nama were not recognized in the 1994 constitution, and now we ask to approve a bill on the rights, traditional rights of people, but the rights of the Khoisan people to land, to their language and culture were not recognized. The constitution is based on Dutch law. Young people have no rights to their own languages. They speak English, and people don't have the right to preserve their languages. We have 11 languages protected by the constitution, but not Khoisan, and no Khoisan traditional leaders are being recognized and protected.
Daarin wil ek vir u vra, die eerbare voorsitter, dat om die eerste nasie deel te maak van 'n bil waarin hulle geen seggenskap het, net soos die grondwet, om dit nietig te verklaar en eers die regte van die Khoisan reg te maak, herstel hulle taal, herstel hulle grond, en herstel hulle regte. Laat die eerste nasie van Suid-Afrika ook deur 'n reconciliatieproces gaan om van hulle wonde te genees.
Before this traditional leaders book could be recognized, the traditional Khoisan leaders and the Khoisan should be awarded their First Nation status, and they should be recognized as First Nation.
Baie dankie.
Thank you very much. Last one.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Edgar Phillips, representative.
Where are you? Let us come that side later. Let us conclude this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Chief Cornelius Nicholas Cock. I am a descendant of the Cock Royal family, not from Noordkap, but from Cockford. Mr. Chair, I would like to just for 1 second take off the gloves entirely. I think in the previous hearings in Parliament I was here, and I was looking over the crowd inside and so that, you know, it's for me it's like it's a desert, that the same people that was the reason that we are sitting here today to discuss our rights, who are the reason that we were stripped from everything. They were part of making this document, draw this document up, and to tell us how we now to have to live now. They were not here for our benefit. They were here to protect their own interests. And I don't think they do have a right here to make any submissions into this world. Because they were the reason for us today sitting here. So, I would just want it to be on record what I've said. There's another thing that Fred from Plus says in Parliament that they never sold his land. They went through war. Now, who wants it back? And if this government cannot give us the land back, which means we just have to use the same procedure. No. Otherwise, they must make provision for us in a different way how we can be able to get back. You know, the culture of the Khoisan is to share. And I would like to say that the Bible says we're not owners of the land. We stewards. Mm. Nobody's the owner of the land. I never make land. I never make the sea. I never make the fish or whatever. I wasn't the creator. Only the creator is the owner. We are there to preserve. There's a specific line in the Bible that is for me the golden line. And I think it's not us alone, the Khoisan alone, but in all our black cards, it's a golden line. And that is, you know, for me is love God above all things and your neighbors as yourself. If a hunter went out and he go and hunt, whatever he bring back, he don't put it in his white cupboard there where colonialism covers. He share it for the rest of the crowd. And that culture was destroyed by greed, colonialism and capitalism. Someone said to me, yeah, what did the colonial bring? I said, headaches and heartaches. Just to sit in front of the beautiful TV doesn't mean you're living. You only exist. Because in front of that TV, they keep you busy. They enslave your mind. Now, I've got a submission that I would have wanted to put in front. But unfortunately, the modern technology has just picked up. I still got computers that use paraffin units to pump him to hold his power. So, Mr. J, I'll roll forward to you with the modern technology ways of cyberspace so that you can know what I would like to say. But what I'm saying now is from my heart. The second thing is, the third thing is, Marie is not here. But I would like to support him. I think, and of my colleagues sitting here, that we in Kimberley want to, and on several occasions, we put a vote of no confidence against the NKC. I am sorry that Cecil the Free is not here now. He was last time here, and he didn't open his mouth.
Yes.
And the reason why is he do not have a mandate, and our NKC do not have a mandate even to be part and parcel to speak for us on this bill.
Yes.
People who do have a mandate to speak to us, report back to us. And they receive mandates from us.
Correct.
You cannot represent someone if you do not report back to them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put the gloves on so that nobody can get hurt. And I will put some more, you know, something. Padded so that I don't make too much damages. But Mr. J, we as the Greek ones reject the bill. I would like to reject the bill in its fullest content, but I do not have the mandate. So I'll reject it on certain issues that we've got in the bill. in the first place, the name on that bowl, you know, is a racist way that they put it. This government divert us again. And then they do exactly what the colonialism done to us. Traditional and Khoisan leadership bill. It was before the Digital Affairs Bill. And I would have liked to stuck with that name. Look, traditional, what is the definition of traditional? I mean, if you take the church, they practice, do things over and over traditional. That's a tradition. And that's what we are doing. And the UN is doing. So why are we divided? But also why we rejected also, because, let me just read something here. In your own document, part two, traditional and cohesion leaders, recognition of the leadership position. Now they speak about king, queen, principal, traditional leaders, senior traditional leaders, and headman and headwoman. And then just down, they talk about senior Khoisan leaders and brown hair. Now, in this bowl they tell us that we do not have kings and queens. Now, Mr. J, I believe kings and queens and chiefs and headmen and headwomen, it's a way that the colonialism, you know, have labeled us. When Dalman Lipika then came here, and they spoke to the king of the Khoisan people here, and he called him chief. Now, if you say that I'm a chief, meaning there's authority above me, I'm not the ultimate chief. Even if I'm the paramount chief, there's still someone above me, in my clan or whatsoever. But if you are the king, which means you're the ultimate authority. So which means this government already stripped us again. And violate our rights to have the right to determine who we are and who are, what we name and label our leaders. And for that, we really say this bill is not our bill. It needs to go back to the government. I would not include the rest because one of my previous speakers already touched on that about the politicians. I mean, the premier this morning stand up and he has to make a decision, and he, or his wife, make him angry at him. He will come back and just deny me because, you know, he's full of emotions. So we reject that the politicians decide about on us. It's actually, they were supposed to listen to the leaders, kings, queens, and give us the full rights and make decisions after that. And we need to approve it for them, not other way around. That's how I feel, Mr. Chair. And I would like our Nguni chiefs to support me in that. Mr. Chair, I think that if we want, you know, the Khoisan people is thirsty, and they will drink sand in the desert. And a lot of them want this bill to be approved because they do not have any resources. But I feel it will be unfair to our children and grandchildren that comes after us. I always, you know, blame my forefathers for the situation we sit in. I do not want to make the same mistakes. Because if this bill is passed in its current form, we will be submission to our Nguni brothers, to the government, and we had no say. And then that's how you know, you became, what do you call it? You became a terrorist because you do not agree with what they say and you cannot have the right to claim that. So, Mr. Chair, we are, the Khoi people is peaceful people. But you see, any bottle gets full and then you get the bottleneck situation. And we do not want that. And I believe that this government has to really turn around 180 degrees and say, let's make these people part of designing the bomb. Mr. Chair, what the government is doing, he come, what they call a prepack. He get from the prepack airtime business. You can pick anything, but you know, you can only pick that, anything of that. So you actually force in a certain area to make choices. We do not want that. We want to make contribution and we want a debate on each and every point that we put on. And the last thing that I would like to complain about or to put forward to you, at the back, we see all the names who make commission submissions. But my problem I've got with this is this do not tell you who made what submission. So you cannot scrutinize the submissions with a book to see how far government came to assist us. And I think even if it's not part of the bill, but that needs to be a document that moves with the bill so that we as the people on the ground, if they say the people on the ground govern, then we need that submission in any document. Don't worry if it's that thing. The white people usually, if they want to confuse you, give you a long document and say, read. We are prepared. We do it every time. We scrutinize this both back to forward and forward to back. But we cannot comment on the other things, Mr. Chair, unless the fundamental thing is not being said. And lastly, my father, grandfather, I was a Greek one. I end up with a color. It must say, Mr. Chair, I leave it there that this government really need to look at our identity. I think I fill in forms. My daughter, I fill in a form for her to go to college, and they send black, white, or whatever the sequence are, and then color, and then others. Now I click in others, and she says, there is a who the hell are we if we, you put in others. I said, no, you will see now, and I put a coin.
Yeah.
And in brackets, Griqua, tribe. And then they asked me, Mr. Cock, there's no, I said, oh, look, you cannot, it's my right to say who I am, and not to be determined by someone else, or even the government, to say who I am. Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity. You will, in due time, receive my full submission. Thank you. Come on. Okay.
Thank you very much. Number 12.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It is John Daniels. It is Rishan Usman. Comrade Chair, ik het nou heel dag geluister wat hier uitgaan. En ek raak nogal soms baie bevoer as ek nou hoor wat aangaan.
You just think all day and I become quite emotional when I hear what's going on.
Die eerste plek wil eindelijk vraag en sê, die bil kom nou al lang aan, hoe kom vir het so lang?
I want to say this bill has been long in the making and ask why.
Vir my is dit dat die government vat nie vir die kooi saan ernstig genoeg op nie.
think the government doesn't take the Khoisan seriously enough.
En ek dink die leiers, ek dink is die NKC, ek dink sy kan basis sê hulle verkoop ons as die kooi son.
And one can say the leadership, the NKC, they are selling us out.
En ek wil vra vir die huisie son, dat ons een ander komitee moet saamstel om hier die bil aan te vat saam met government, wat ons gekies het.
And I want to say that we should elect another committee here to discuss this bill with the government, a committee that's being elected by us.
So that ons wil kan determine hoe spoedig ons die bill wil afhandel.
So that we can determine how quickly we want to conclude this bill.
Die boesman is vir die bill, maar daar moet amendments gemaakt word op die bill. Vooral dat die Khoisan die eerste nasie is van Suider-Afrika. En as een mens die geskiedenis kyk, iets van ons wat die geskiedenis kyk, net soos hy dit wil kyk. As ons die geskiedenis gaan lees en nagaan, dan gaat ons sien wie is waarlik die eerste nasie van Suid-Afrika. En dis die Khoisan. Daar is ook een deel wat ek gesien het hier in die bil, waar die government wil voorsê hoe dat die Khoisan dinge moet doen. Ons moet eindelijk vir die government sê hoe dat die Khoisan dinge doen. En dat het so moet gelede sluit word. En dis hoe ek glo dat dinge moet gedoen word.
The Khoisan are the first nation, and we have to, the government can't tell us how to go about doing things. The Khoisan themselves must determine how we go about this.
Ek sien dat hier is in die vergadering sien ek hier is ook, ek ga dit maar so noem, ook traditional groups. En ek glo as ons, as die Khoisan, wat die eerste nasie is van die land, as ons een bil wil dat teken of laat een proces aan die gang wil sit, moet ek glo ek ons as die Khoisan moet alleen teenwoordig wees in so'n soort van een sitting. Ons het gesien die kante van groep 1, nie op onse kante, groep 3, sorry, ek moet die derde spreker, ons het gesien hoe dat dinge een bietjie kan uitrafel. Ek glo daaraan dat die traditional en die Khoisan moet een kant gehanteer word, want jy kan dit nie verskille doen nie. As hy sê, jy is die eerste nasie van die land, dan moet ons alleen in so'n sitting sit. Dank u.
I think there should be separate sessions of the Khoisan on the one hand and traditional leaders on the other hand, so that they can respectively determine their rights and make their own submissions.
Ons allemaal weet, soos hier sit, dat Queen Katrina was erken deur die government. En ek gaan vir julle sê vandag, tot op vandag toe, het sy nie dieselfde rechte wat die ander traditional leiers, wat die mens kan noem, soos die een van KwaZulu-Natal, ek kan nou nie meer die naam kom, maar sy het nie dieselfde rechte nie. En dit is die eerste punt wat ons moet aanraak, dat sy die rechte moet kry, net soos die anders het kry.
Queen Katrina was recognized by the government, but she did not receive the same rights as other traditional leaders.
Mr. Chairman, ek sê dankie vir die geleentheid. En as die son, die boesman, sal ons ons submission vir u forward. Baie dankie.
Mr. Chairman, I thank you for this opportunity. And we as the Khoisan will send our submissions into you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Very helpful for all of us. There are only three hands now in the close. There is the hand, you should, but don't take long time. Because I'm giving you, precisely because we're outside when we started, and Belinda will be the last one. There's a shift behind you. you wanted to make a point. Just bear in mind, though, that people are starting to leave. And it would be number three, number four, five, six. Can we do that? Just begging again, let us not drag unnecessarily. One point that I covered already, really, don't repeat them. If we agree with them, we'll just make other points that are not covered. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. The name is Anthony Philip Williams from Indigenous First Nation Advocacy South Africa. One of the first comments I think I would love to make is I hear the Honourable Leader here, very charismatic and very passionate spokesperson who calls us to, and some of the other leaders, who calls us to forget this us and them and the difference between us. But it's very interesting that we agree with that in principle, that the division that has been caused, and it's consistent, and even this particular bill advances the same kind of divisions, is something of grave concern. When we hear the Deputy Minister, and we heard this earlier on, but I want to particularly focus on a different section of what the Deputy Minister of COGTA said, Minister Papela, when he said, and I quote at least a part of his thing that says, "We must not." Now, the moment you said "we," the question is, who is that? Who's he referring to? And then he continues to say, "We must not get into the temptation." It's been captured by media. Of giving them. So two things that are very critical in the statement of the Honourable Deputy Minister that is absolutely very concerning. He says "we" and he says "them." The word "them" was used absolutely condescendingly and with disrespect. And we as a people and as a nation take serious exception to that, and we want to put this on record. Because when we talk about we have got to unify this country, this nation, and we talk about we and them, and it comes from as high as the executive, then this country is in trouble. But this kind of tone is not ordinarily, you won't ordinarily hear this kind of tone when we engage with one another on the ground. But there is this posturing of someone or some people who are higher than the rest, who are sitting somewhere in a little corner, and they can determine for us, you know, who we are. And that is absolutely worrying. And so I want the Honourable Leader to take note of that, because when we say we've got to work and walk together, then we have to consider those undertones, because these are very worrying sounds. As African people, that is going against the grain of every African, because in every African community, we don't talk like that. Why do we talk against and down on the other people? So we thought that we spend a little bit of time highlighting that, because this is the thing that is causing the animosity. And that's why, you know, we're sitting there and it looks like almost like the so-called colored people are sitting over there, the so-called black people are sitting over here, and it looks almost like we are on opposite sides. Mm. It's a very dangerous, very dangerous phenomenon. We have to look into this. I'm mentioning this because, Chairperson, let me go a little bit further to the next. There is a very serious concern that we as in IFNASA has, and you perhaps would know who we are. You perhaps would have received our submission, and you perhaps maybe it's a good time now to put on record, because many of our people don't know that
We are the organization who has taken the government to court, you know, for the recognition of our First Nation status. And we also were looking into the whole issue around land in our submission. And then we also looked at the bill. We asked for the bill to be repealed until an extensive engagement happens, you know, like this. And then the last one was this issue of blacks, but Africans in particular. Now, even that is a very, very, very serious, onslaught against all of us as Africans. Now, when you say you are black, but you are saying the other one is more black than this one, it is a very serious thing. And this is in the constitution of the ANC. And we come from the ANC, and I have come from the same branch as Comrade Jesse Duarte. We were in the same branch. I come from the same branch. Her house at one point in time was sort of a headquarters for what we were doing. So I come from the ANC. I have got that history, understand it. And I'm also not one of the people who just came about yesterday. We've been in the struggle for many years. We struggled together, alongside. But now that liberation came, now there are blacks and there are super blacks. Now that is, it's contradictory in terms. This is the same organization that speaks against them, if you talk specifically the ANC, that speaks against racialism. We have now descended into racism. So we need to look into that. Let me advance. The problem with the bill is the following, Chairperson. I've made three little things because I can't speak to the notes because it's going to take us too long. There's a disjunction, disconnect. You cannot talk about the bill and you talk about recognition in particular of the Khoi and the San people outside of giving the Khoi and the San people the opportunity to first congregate, come together by themselves and begin to develop. Some of the things that you hear, some say this, some agree, it's purely because there's a history. There's a gap in history that this particular community has never self-identified. Even the word Khoisan does not come from us. Again, it is something that's been imposed on us as a group of people. It was given by Leonard Schultz in 1928. It's not something that comes from us. Again, we're sitting with a title. It's really not ours. So what we are asking, we're pleading with the government, and we know that our brothers and sisters in Guni people, we know that they agree with us, is that the government would give the Khoisan people, so-called, an opportunity and provide the resources to congregate again, to come together, so that they can actually have the conversation amongst themselves and then self-identify them. Let's park that one there. And because this, when you talk about recognition, there are other stakeholders that are outside of this discussion. And this is missing. As COPTA, had to invite to these meetings land and rural development. Because it's a critical component of what we are doing here. Because you cannot talk about recognition of a people or a nation in this case, outside of recognizing land. Because recognizing this nation outside of land is inconsequential and does not make any sense. So we want you to take very serious note of what we are saying, and please invite to the rest of the other meetings as best as you can. And we know that probably time constraints, but if you could really go out of your way, Chairperson, and the team, to really make sure that land and rural development is here, but also arts and culture. Because these are all interlinked agencies of government, and we need to speak to all of them all at the same time. so that we don't repeat ourselves, because this is the issue. When we go here, we sit and we talk to guys in African culture, and we have got to repeat yourself. So if we can have in sync, because this is what the constitution requires, that there is that the departments speak to one another. It's a constitutional imperative. Let me quickly advance, and probably break come to a conclusion, to say the following. There's a case that was heard in 1973, and we talk about, I don't know if the professor is here, they talk about case law, and it's in Canada. The case was about the Calder versus the Auditor General of British Columbia in 1973. And it was about the issue of land. And the case, the long and the short was, is that the court came, the Supreme Court in Canada came to the conclusion that when the British Crown annexed the land, the indigenous rights was not extinguished. That's the essence of that case. And so there is many other examples, including the America, including in Australia, that the whole doctrine of terra nullius has been taken given a blow. We want the COPTA to really look into those issues, because it is of grave concern. Because when you say that the Khoisan does not have First Nation status, let me conclude with this one, Chair. We must not claim First Nation status at the expense of our brothers and sisters, to the extent that we want to dislodge the important and critical and inherent place that the Nguni people occupy in South Africa. Because when we come to that place, then we have lost our Africanness, and everything that Africa and Africanism is standing for. We are saying that we don't want to play to that particular rhetoric and that political game. Nguni people are an integral part of who we are. And for us, it is very heartbreaking to see that the majority of Nguni people who currently run this country is leaving the original First Nation, is leaving them outside to dry. That is something that all of us have to go home with, and we have to seriously interrogate this Africanism and what has happened to it, and why would we consciously leave the Khoisan people outside. I will park it there. I thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Let me check you. No, Belinda, you're my one. Let me check next to you, Belinda, on your right. Check the platform.
Thank you, Chair. I've listened, and I'm not going to repeat what has been said. You've said most of what I wanted to say, and thank you, Chief Kok, for bringing out the issue of stewardship. When I speak about our people, I refer to us as foundation nation, because that really is the essence of who we are. And you are so right to say that we have a problem with being called colored, because that was by race classification in 1950. That act was repealed on the 17th of June 1991, and yet it is still reflective on legislative forms. Don't ask me why. We were at a restitution conference, and the VC of UCT had to speak about the role of higher education institutions and restitution. And the classification was white, black, colored, and Indians. And I asked him, I said, how is it that you continuously work with government to divide and rule? Now, I think this is a fundamental error in wanting to ask the Foundation Nation. When I say Foundation Nation, I refer to Koi and Sam, that even in itself that grouping is incorrect. Because we cannot put two groups together, but I understand because we work with the tribal structures, we work with the customary structures, and we are the foundation nation restoration based on biblical principles. Now, if I want to really give you a lesson or a scriptural lesson, I'm going to take you back from Genesis 9. It goes right through to Luke 11, but that will park for another day. It will be in the presentation. The issue that I want to raise is that...
But can we invite you one day to come and teach us?
You'll need not even a day, you'll need a month, but nevertheless, I will do so.
No, you'll summarize it.
No, but I'm going to summarize now. The issue that I'm in the letter, because we made a presentation on the 31st of December 2013, a written submission. In fact, pages 88 to 94 list the whole sequence of events. And the sad thing is, we're sitting here today re-looking at another process. I don't understand why the delay. I'm asking, is the importance of a foundation nation first people not important that we are revisiting again? The other issue is the schedule 4 and thereafter the objectives and all of that. It says this is the first piece of statutory legislation that recognizes the Koi and the Sand. And we're supposed to be feeling very glad about it. You know, the indictment against this government, the indictment and the violation to not recognize us and to say here is a bill. Do we understand the issue of being a foundation nation, that the Most High gives so much of value and attention to first fruits with the principle of stewardship thereto? We as the first people, we have never been given the opportunity to exercise our stewardship role. And therein lies the blessing for this nation. So we are withholding blessings from every other people grouping. And so we want to see that. So what is being forced onto us is an inherited identity. We have an ordained identity given by the Most High. And so I want to say to us, I have lots to say, but I want to just sum it up. The recommendation would be, is don't put the cart before the horse. Recognition of a foundation nation must be enshrined in the constitution of the land. Number one. Number two, you cannot assimilate a foundation nation with some other nation. You have to recognize that according to the law of the first. And then we need a codessa to understand what has gone wrong. Because we were left out 91, 92, 93. And so we sit with this. And if this government's eyes don't open, the blessings that the Father has spoken through many prophecies over this land will be held back. But we will petition the throne room of the Most High. Because we live here and we want to see the blessings come forth. And we want everybody that lives here to also experience that blessing. I thank you.
Okay. Let me take you. We are the last one. There's someone who wanted to speak just behind you. Just bear in mind though that time is getting a little bit stressed. We don't want to see members who want to contribute not contributing. Chief, you wanted us to make a point. Please, we have made many points. Let us not repeat what has been said. About 24 people have already spoken in detail, make points. Let us try to summarize when we think there are gaps. Let us not start again discussion that we have already discussed. In fact, there are presentations that are there, Mr. Chancellor. A lot of presentations that are here already. And we have spoken on some on behalf of many other people, but it seems even those who are representing us, we also add on that, which is good. But let us summarize it, Chief, just not to make it difficult for the King to go back home.
I just want to say thank you, Chair. I'm just when the gentleman made a statement, but it opened my eyes, where he said that he reject Christianity. I'm actually on that point, sir.
Yes.
I'm actually on that point, but it's for each and every one in here. When it comes to who is a higher source, that woman over there just mentioned it. We must start with God. And let me tell you, sir, God used any method to convey his word. And
a point of correction, Mr. Chairman, I don't think he's talking to me, because we all put our statement here.
Mm.
Now, he says he's correcting me.
No, sir. I said, no, I just want you to listen. I want you to listen, sir, please. No, everyone. You including, sir.
No, don't speak really.
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay, I'm almost finished, sir. The thing is this. When it comes, we are sitting here. We are looking for a solution to this problem. Now, the problem is, sir, remember, South Africa used to be a God-fearing country. The problem is basically that have we forgotten where we came from? So, at the end is basically, if we start with God, don't you think we will have a solution to this problem? Because we can sit here and say what everyone is saying. At the end is basically, if God is not first in our decisions, we're going to have a problem every time. God bless you.
Thank you very much. You wanted to check the platform?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. I'm going to be brief. Mr. Chair, I've gone through all the legislation that was passed by this government since its inception, 94. Just before 94, the apartheid government decided, before we hand over power, we're going to abolish the Population Registration Act, classifying us coloureds. And that happened at 114 of 1991. And it states, Mr. Chair, for the record, to repeal the Population Registration Act of 1950, to amend or repeal certain laws so as to abolish, reverse, cancel, back to before 1950. So when you abolish, you reverse a decision that was taken. The distinction made therein between persons belonging to different races or population groups, and to provide for matters connected therewith. So the description or the classification colored 1991 was abolished, repealed, taken back, reversed, revoked, rescinded. There's a problem, Mr. Chair. I think it was my leader that side, the leader of Kok, who said he falls in the documents and there's a block for him to say, are you this, that, and the other thing. The government is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Why the National Party government never informed the so-called colored people, or today the Khoisan people, that the bill classifying them as colored was scrapped? Why did the ANC government, or the Democratic government of 1994, not inform the people of South Africa that the law was scrapped? There is no need for you to call yourself colored anymore. But we see it now happening as my leader Philip this alluded to. It's in the interest of this government to still keep us there and refer to us as coloured. And that is why Deputy Minister Obed Bapela is on the offensive. Because he's scared, and others, they are scared, the coloured people is going to find out that since 91, not even the white government referred to them as coloured anymore. Now the F-53 of 98, I stand corrected, that is the black Mr. Chair, is the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act of 2003. Now, in there, they give a definition. Black people, for the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment, is a generic term that this government are using, which means Africans, colors and Indians, generic term. I've gone through all the government legislation. There is no law on the statute books today as we speak classifying my proud people, the Khoisan people, as colored. So I'm asking the question to my own people and to the government, why are you still referring to us as colored if the law has been revoked, rescinded, repealed, cancelled, whatever you want to call it. Because I went back, Mr. Chair, and I'm finishing off. I went to the dictionaries just to find out what does the government mean by generic. The definition of generic, the school teachers will love this, it's to do with a noun or noun phrase. It only refers to a whole class or any member of a class as a representative of it class, of its class. So the government, Mr. Chair, I say in all due respect, the chair and the members of the committee, there is no such a thing as a colour in South Africa. The law was repealed in 1991, but the government has still got in their correspondence, and by the way, for the committee and for all the esteemed members present, that law repealing the referring to us as coloured, it applies to the Identification Act, it applies to the Transport Act, it applies to the Electoral Act and other acts. And yet, if you go to the government's correspondence, you will still see the word coloured. So the government is actually using, referring to us in a derogatory sense. The white man cancelled it, but this government on earth, let's still use and refer to them as coloured because they don't know. I did not know, Mr. Chair, with all due respect, that the law was repealed until about 2-3 years ago. So it's not on the statute books. So why is the government still referring to us as coloureds? They must explain this to us. Mr. Chair and the committee, thank you very much. My esteemed leader is settled.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Edgar Phillips, representatives of the Soto traditional leadership. Our stand for now is quite mild because there are loads of emotions in the house that if we can go back as Sotos in the Western Cape, where we fought Jan van Riebeeck with the sons in Sea Point and blocked them for 3 years. After 3 years, which were helped by the Greek one, then the Prestwich massacre happened. And we need to understand that today we're talking about people who are claiming this place and they exclude Sotho's, which were based in Sea Point, Cape Town, down to Newlands. The Prestwich massacre, where we were killed brutally by the whites and being helped by the Griquas, by the way. If you go to Prestwich, you will get that evidence. When Minister then, Palo Jordan, went there and they dug those graves, massive graves, and took our ancestral crops and go and bury them in Robben Island without any consultation of the Sotho's. So now we are here and the bill says a memorandum for objections of traditional land, Khoisan leadership bill, whatever. It's as if we are excluded because we, after 1994, we had TRC which supposed to deal with the ills of our past, and we really fighting with each other with mostly false history. That we all know that most of the history that we are speaking of today is a false history. It's full of lies. Even if you go into the document of Dr. Ivan Thompson, It My Call Up, those Afrikaners, they said the Afrikaner history is a false and a lie history. Fortunately, when I was at Standard 2, being taught about the great Dutch East Indian Company, I went home excited, and when I arrived home, I was excited, said to my grandfather, which was a lecturer then, we had a lesson about the Dutch East Indian Company. He got very mad, but he understood and sat with me down and said, listen, most of that history is a false and it's a lie history. And then he started to give me books, African books, that shows exactly who we are as Africans and South Africans. And today we listen from those whites who are saying Cape Town is no man's land. No way. No way. Cape Town, it helped people. Those people who fought so hard for those Afrikaners not to enter this side of the land. That's why I say today, if we go to Prestwich massacre, there is evidence where they brutally killed us. And they chased us away from our Cape Town. And we late settled in where we called then Kokstad, Mount Fletcher, Heschel, and all that places, the lowlands of Lesotho. Later, some others ran to Lesotho. But if you go to most of black township, Langa, you'll find the most of the street have been named by Sotus, like there are Sotho names. If you go to Nyanga, majority of people there are Sotus. So really we would like the house to recognize us as the people of the Western Cape, and it really fits us because we don't have too many schools, Sotho schools, where we can teach our kids our language, our traditions and all that. Even if we go for initiation school, we go to those mountains, Stellenbosch, French Hook, Philastorp, Grapo. When we're there, we must ask permission from those African and Hollanders for to us to practice this ritual.
Okay.
Yes.
Very powerful.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Many people are living, really. To conclude, put your point.
Yeah, on my conclusion, we would like to also be included in the bill and be recognized as the people of the Cape Town, because we are really people of this place. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the contribution.
Thank you, Chair. Sizalapa, Ekadir, I am here. Chairperson, I'm the last, and I would like to look you in the face to say to you this, that who do you think is the real people of the Khoi Khoi? Because you know who the son is. You know I'm always sitting in your portfolio committees, and I'm just in an observing status. I'm observing. But when I go home, I need to punch my pillow. Because why? The harsh words that have been said from the Deputy Minister Obed Babela and the DG Charles Nwala, the harsh words that were said is the research report that went out to see who is the real Khoi Khoi people. It was discovered that there was none. The Sun people, yes, they're in the Kalahari, they are there. And then it was said, a thorough, I can't even stop to say thorough research report was done. And yes, I'm emotional. I'm emotional about this because why? Why would a young woman like me, I'm going to say it again, a young woman like me would want to push for the status of a Khoi son, of a Khoi Khoi woman, of a Hottentot woman? Why would somebody like me push for that? But let me tell you, Chair, if it wasn't for my mother, God bless her soul, 6 foot deep under the sand. If she didn't give, had to give me the oral history, today, Chairperson, I'm here. I cannot even give a submission because when I start to type, I'm like this. It frustrates me. It takes me back to the apartheid time. And yes, there was a conquest. There was a conquest rule. There was the salt water colonialism. There was the apartheid rule, and now that gentleman said, that Nguni chief, whatever he is, he said, it's 2016, guys, get your wake up. Why are you still living in the past? Yes. Why would somebody like me be trapped in the past? Jay, I must enjoy my life. We are 22 years into this democracy. Ubuntu, Simonye, we are one. We are all one when Nelson Mandela made us free. Why would I come here and force an issue to a department and then to parliament? And yes, Chair, it was said, these people coming here today, they will look like churches, dressed in a particular manner. They walk in a particular way, claiming that they are these people. But let me tell you, Chair, if you take the blood in my hand, if you take it, and so help me God, if it is the blood of the Khoi Khoi, I demand personal status.
Yeah.
I demand it. Chair, with all due respect to Parliament, Parliament is a place which is the highest authority. Parliament has failed us. The President has failed us. The Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs has failed us. The National Khoi Sun Council has failed us.
Yes.
Said many a times, Sister Lafleur does not speak on behalf of us, the National Coast Sound Council and the Cronies, they do not speak on behalf of us. And yet, it's been said, no, but they're representing you guys. You are blind to that chair. You are blind. But you know what? It's been a long time. We have a land claim of the January House. 19 years. 19 years. They cannot sort it out, chair. Now, what are we to do? We are sitting here. The Ngunis are sitting here. Chair, I love those people sitting there. I love them. They live side by side with me. I stay in Manenberg. Google Earth is there. I go party there. But chair, when it comes to issues like this, politicians divide us.
Yes,
politicians divide traditional leaders and First Nations status indigenous. Yes, I'm emotional. I don't care anymore. But chair, those who want to go through with this traditional Khoisan law, they can go. Because why? We want to cut the license. We are drawing a white line. You are traditional. We are the First Nation indigenous leaders. Because why? South Africa did not sign the 169. So, they cannot be held accountable. But then, with 60 countries, I had to give answer to why xenophobia took place here in South Africa. And I say to them, come to my area. We have all the nationalities there. They make business, they get cars, they have lodges and everything. We never practice xenophobia on them. Who started it? King Valentini started it. He started it. And then, the Human Rights Commission claims that he is free of charge. He didn't start xenophobia, but yet again, those people bashed me. I had to sit there and listen to how brutal we handle those foreign nationals here. Jay, I'm going to conclude now. If this government, the politicians, the president, parliament, if they not going to give respiration to the so-called colors, the First Nations, the Khoi and the Busman people, this is all. Thank you.
And I think it would be I think there are two things that I would allow members just to comment, very few colleagues. The meeting really is just about to listen to our people giving us some of the input. It's not to rebut them, whatever they are saying, to listen, you sit down in committees. We are still going to invite those who have made input, and Baba Jensen can come also invited. Just to enrich as we prepare ourselves for finalization after we visited all the provinces. The colleagues who's from the Kokstad are going there. Next year we'll meet with our colleagues in Kokstad, the communities there, they raise the issues. We have heard what the Western Cape is saying. And of course, we have heard also what the Northern Cape was saying. Generally speaking, I think we understood now what are the bigger issues that we are facing. But one thing that I think is very problematic about South Africa is this thing of your government. You talk to the same people, but it's your government. You are not part of it.
Mm-mm.
Then this is our government. It's a democratically elected government of South Africa under one state that is called South Africa. There's no other government. There's one government. It's our government. Because once we start engaging with them, this your government, this is it can't be right in general. This is our government, they know it all. Yeah, I know that also want to be king. But the king is somewhere. But also want to be a double king in the Western Cape. It's just colleagues, it's a very, very important meeting, and presentations have been made. I want to invite members who want to comment, but really, we'll take only 3 minutes. Members of Parliament know that they speak 3 minutes. Anyone who wants to make a comment, Bamfana, you also want to be a key. Belinda, I thought that we have agreed with us that we would democratize institutions. we modernize this in terms of our approach, but it seems today we are taking another view that there will be some war. I'm not sure what this war all about.
The war all about.
Because I just think that when we engage each other, let us avoid this war thing. There's nothing like war. We must talk, must engage, must move forward. And Bamsanda, what do you want us to say?
Thank you, Chair. We're happy as a member of parliament to engage the community member for questions. But what I've learned today, Chair, it's amazing that all of the members of the Kwesan are the queens and the kings. I've learned that all members of the Kwesan, Koran, Kriko, Nakwan are the kings and queens. During the lunchtime, everybody was a king, everyone was a queen, everyone was a leader. Then. That means there is no flaw there. That's what I learned today. It means, it's what I learned, but what I've learned today, Chair, is that because it's now the member of parliament, as we say, we want to, the bill is given to the community and to listen to the community. It's what we're doing now. There's people who have all got histories. They will tell us about our histories and the knowledge, how the core comes from. Thank you, Chair, that I've learned today.
Masono.
Yeah, no. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to make a brief comment. Firstly, just to say that we in the portfolio committee do not know it all. And this has been our approach and has characterized the various interactions that we have had. So we engage so that we may learn from one another. I also think, Chairperson, that it's very important to acknowledge that we are grappling with very complex issues. Very, very difficult and complex issues. And therefore, they need to apply ourselves carefully and with as much energy as possible so that we move in the direction of finding meaningful solutions. But one of the issues that has emerged out of this meeting that I think deserves special attention is this whole question of the national question. It persists, and I'm sure when tempers went up a bit, its importance couldn't be ignored. We need to find a way of grappling with this matter and really ensure that there's a level of understanding as a base from which all of us move. So we've heard about challenges, Chairperson. There's no need for me to repeat them. Against racism, unemployment, recognition of the Khoisan languages, sense of exclusion, landlessness, and so on. So we've heard about the challenges. In terms of what needs to be done going forward, I just thought that I would just make the comment that the bill provides for some foundation to engage these issues. The bill is by no means perfect. We should, as the purpose of engagement, look forward to ensuring amendments. But my sense as well was that there was a cry for involving some committee. I guess it's a point that introductory practice has been noted going forward. So let's find a way of ensuring that the engagement is deepened and that some of these issues are indeed addressed. And just to conclude by saying that we have heard you, as the committee, I'm sure the chairperson will be able to make a summary. And personally, I've emerged out of this process with a much better understanding. I've grown somewhat, so the engagement has been fairly useful. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think one thing to note out of the gathering is that this is a complex issue that we're dealing with. And it's quite sensitive in a way. Given the time that people are putting forward in terms of having waited for such an initiative to take place and be concluded, I think we must recognize that fact. But I think, as sensitive as it was, on a balance of scale, I think we should commend the participants in terms of tolerance. I think it had a potential of having a conflict brewed in it. But I think to a larger extent, people were able to contain their emotions and were able to engage on the issues at hand. I think we, as a committee, were given what we term a bad cost. As we deal with this bill and later legislation, we are going to carry that forward and see how to grapple with the issues that people are raising. I think to take to from the latter speaker, there's an issue that I think probably the committee would have to take into consideration, and that of having, out of this gathering, a subcommittee or a team that would work closely with the committee in refining some of the issues that were raised, so as to kind of not miss any issues that would assist us moving forward. But I think for me, it gave a sense of how important and close this is to the traditional people around the province of the Western Cape. And I think also it was re-emphasized the fact of giving provinces powers vis-a-vis the powers of the national ministry. And I think those are some of the issues that we would have to thoroughly consider and see how we then deal with them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
The only comment I can make is that I'm sure the Europeans are lovely. Their policy of divide and rule has worked very hard. It is them who says who is who. And we're told by them. They made us slaves. They took our land, they took our language, they took everything. Now they are laughing. Because they will tell you coming from there, you coming from there. They tell us. And now we're fighting. We believe them. We need to think twice. We really need to think twice. If you take a dog that has about 10 puppies, take two and give it to that neighbor, two that neighbor, two that neighbor. Then after 6 months, let them fight on the street. They don't know they're coming from the same mother and father. They were told that they are different people. And they're fighting. I think we still go a long way to go. There's more to it. I think we need to find a common ground and say who we are.
Europeans are laughing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I heard from a few speakers that the situation is very complex. And I will be the first person to say yes, it is indeed complex. But what I also want to put forward in this house, South Africa showed the world that the impossible is possible. By taking us from apartheid to a new South Africa, I don't think many of us could have believed that we could get rid of apartheid in a relative smooth way. So the fact that this situation or issue is complex, and it is complex, I think the people in this house show that they are people who understand. But I must say, Chairperson, I also get the impression that they've been sort of abused by not listening to them. And I think our colleague there has mentioned a thing that I also would like to propose here this afternoon. The problem is we talk too little. We talk hopelessly too little, and the time has come that we must keep on talking on a sustainable way and not coming once a year and expect from us that we must understand. So I want to support what that colleague of yours have said, Chairperson, that I think we must seriously consider a structure out of these people sitting here, which will be a legitimate structure, because the NPC, we're sitting with a problem. The government keep referring us to the NKC, but it is clear that the NKC is not the answer. So I want to suggest a structure that must be in constant discussion with the government to deal with this complex issue. We are not going to solve this issue if we have a once-off initiative by dealing with such a complex issue. I think the will is there amongst our people that we want to find a solution. Because why? There's no other way than a peaceful solution. The second thing, I was very inspired also about another thing that was said here. When someone in the house mentioned why Khoisan ain't traditional, but that is also division. Our vision of this country is unity in diversity. Ite karate. Let us be truthful towards that. Let us strive to become one, because there's no other way. We can be Khoisan with our uniqueness and whatever, but we can still be one. So my plea to you, Chairperson, is that you must seriously now consider, have a structure that can be engaging, which is legitimate, which can engage with this government of a constant way to deal with this complex issue, because it is indeed a complex issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. And I think we are going to take the proposal forward and have a discussion and see what else we can do. Well, it's very clear that we have raised very difficult questions. We've learned from your input and we appreciate it a lot. And we know that if we don't talk, we won't understand each other. We agree exactly that we must talk and have a discussion. Motion will always overcome us when we are dealing with very complex matters like that. The strange thing is that those who are dispossessed, sometimes they've got a tendency of fighting among themselves. But all of them are dispossessed. And we take the point that the acknowledgement of language, culture, tradition, the subcommittee of this team, I think we must consider seriously. having done a lot of presentation I've been made here. We need some colleagues to sit down and look at them. With particular with people who have really taken an effort to write and make presentation, it's very important that we take that and move on. We would find common ground, and I'm just convinced that South Africans would find common ground. And I agree with the point that has been made by our colleagues that we are all Africans anyway. I'm not sure what is different in our blood, and I don't know anything about blood. But what I know that we are all Africans. And then basically, William, the issue of black in particular, black general, African in particular, I thought always include you. It seems today you say you don't know this thing. But you know very well that it includes you. All those who regard themselves as African by blood, by geography, by everything, the Africans. And I thought that includes you. And I think the national question issue, Honorable Masondo, that we must address as we move on. We had no intention anyway that we're going to solve the problem in this meeting. Our views can be. But we have opened our mind. Members of Parliament, they are not professors of history. They learn from those who have researched and do some work on this. And the interaction today was very useful, at least for me. And then we know now what is it that we can propose going forward. The bill is a bill, is a proposal. This is not a law, it's a proposal. Like all proposals will be amended, changed, reworked, and then rejected, accepted. But as we engage, I think we are going to refine this and have a proper bill that accommodates everything. There was in the Northern Cape, there was also a proposal that maybe separate the bill. And then the Khoisan bill is a bill and have a traditional leader, the entire Chilean, all African traditional leaders included, Those are proposals that we are taking forward for real discussion. And thank you for your contribution. We didn't have sufficient time. I think one day is too short for so many people who want to speak. But we have tried our level best to allow everyone to speak the way they should speak. Not 2 minutes. In Parliament, we speak 2 minutes. After that, we cut you off. Because when you speak, you must have prepared your thought process correctly. But public hearings are public hearings. And then also, just to encourage that, let us tolerate different views. I think we are developing a bad culture. When we don't agree with a person, you shout a person. But when you speak, we want all of us to listen to you. We can sometimes become very selfish people. It causes harm to other people, disrespect and all that. We are moving forward with this, and colleagues, we think we are going to assist us. Make presentation to a committee. Summarize other issues that you want to do. Those who have made presentations, they want also to come to a committee and expand more. We are always available. We are always available. The Secretary of Parliament is here. If you think this time was not sufficient for you, wanted to expand on your presentation, make arrangement. Make arrangement. We'll call you to a committee, make the presentation, we engage with your presentation. The problem with public hearing that we can't engage with you, we must listen ourselves. Sometimes there'll be a lot of things that are said that we think that we can't represent the South Africanness. But we can't do that, we also have to listen. And then we have listened now. We hope that you come in and assist us and all those make representations. Let us have sit down. The committee is available. We hope that by next year we'll finalize it. This bill, take it to Parliament. Parliament again will tell their view on that. They may reject our bill. But we think that if we work together, we'll refine this bill and become the bill that can assist us to lay a firm foundation for communities in our area, for people in our area. Very good work in our view. We'll try in future to make more time to allow all our leaders on the ground to take us through. Thank you for...
I'm not satisfied. I'm still feeling very aggrieved. But I want to send a strong message to the Deputy Minister and to the DJ and to yourself. that if you one more time call me a churchy, I'm gonna start acting like a churchy. Do not name calling, especially in your meetings. It's open meetings and the public can come. But I walked out and I started crying because I couldn't dish you with my fist. Now, I do not want to use my fist, but I want to use my mouth. Do not call people of Western Cape churches until you find out who we really are. I want you to withdraw it because why? I felt the grief and I'm not satisfied. But the strong message that is going out there, if you're going to call our churches, we will have to do something about it. Thank you.
No. We'll convey that to a deputy minister. We'll have a discussion with the deputy minister on some of the issues possible that is misquoted, with a lot of other issues. Belinda will come to many committee meetings, I think we'll hear that. But really, we must thank you very much for your attendance for this public hearing. We are going, those who can move with us, they are free to move with us until I leave home, and then we'll come back to Western Cape to refine our hearing. Thank you for your contribution. Drive safe. Take care.